Fräulein.
The bar is closed.
We are not thirsty.
What do you want?
The same thing your friend Dr. Jones wanted. Surely he told you there would be other interested parties.
He must have slipped his mind.
The man is nefarious. I hope for your sake he has not yet acquired it.
Why, are you willing to offer more?
Oh, almost certainly. Do you still have it?
No. But I know where it is. Hey, how about a drink for you and your men?
Your fire is dying here. Why don't you tell me where the PC is right now?
Listen, Air Mac. I don't know what kind of people you're used to dealing with. Nobody tells me what to do in my place.
Fräulein Ravenwood, let me show you what I am used to. Nick!
Wait, well, I can be reasonable.
That time is past.
You don't need that. Wait. I'll tell you everything.
Yes. I know you will.
Let her go.
From the 905 Geek Studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
That's fantastic. If you go to my website right now, you're going to see a weird, mind-warping picture of George Lucas taken on the set of Indiana Jones 4, currently filming. Oh, and also there's some fantastic footage of Beyonce falling down some stairs and landing on her face. Bam! That's how you start the day.
But then she gets right back up like a pro. You got to hand it to her.
And her hair didn't even come off or anything. Or is that her with the fake hair? I'm always...
It's the lace weave thing.
That's right. It's all pulling away at her skin and whatnot. Yeah, there's a great... And the best part of the Beyonce falling... I know I've skipped ahead here, but the best part of Beyonce falling down the stairs, it's not included in the video that I got on my site. But apparently right after she fell on her face, she actually made this long impassioned plea to the crowd that nobody post the footage on YouTube. So, of course, the footage is posted on YouTube everywhere you look, including on my site. And, of course, as they do with everything on YouTube, they show the footage at full speed and then they slow it down because everything is better in slow motion. Anything, even things that aren't funny, you can make funny just by slowing it. That makes everything twice as amusing. So you go to rickemerson.com right now. Do it this instant. The first thing you'll see is some footage of Beyonce falling down. And she takes, I mean, that's a full-on header. And those are metal stairs, too. Those aren't carpeted stairs. That's like 8 steps down. It is kind of impressive that she gets right back up. That's all. Nobody saw. That's what that is. In front of 10,000 people. Nobody saw. Keep on going. But then she makes this whole speech about, please don't post this footage on YouTube. And it's up there, and it's glorious. So there's that. And then right below that, there's a link to a picture. Well, it's a link to a dude's blog where he has a photo of George Lucas. And I think he notes, if you listen really carefully, you can hear the universe ripping itself in half and then refolding itself as I say these words. Because it's weird upon weird upon weird. And I know that I haven't even done the intro to the show yet. It's one of those things that Bruce Agler punches me in the face for later. But I got to say, if you go to my site, you click on the link, you go to this guy's blog, it's a photograph of George Lucas wearing a Han Shot First shirt. But then, the additional sort of fillip upon a fillip there, is that Lucas is wearing a shirt that says Han Shot First, and he's doing it while talking to Harrison Ford. So, Lucas is actually talking to Han Solo while wearing a shirt that says Han Shot First. Said shirt, which only exists because of a revision to the film that Lucas himself made and then defended. And the whole thing just makes my head explode. So I can't think about it too much. Anyway, so there you go. A little Indiana Jones sound for you at the top of the program. And you know, the thing about that guy who plays Toad, I don't think you ever saw him anywhere ever again. I don't think he ever acted in another movie. I mean, maybe he did, but nothing I ever saw. Because, of course, he just scarred his way into our brains as that creepy, yes, I know you will. That guy, that's what we all know him as. He's like Andy Robinson, who is known only to me. Andy Robinson is the guy who played Scorpio in the first Dirty Harry film. Just a powerhouse of a role. Never did anything again. He showed up in one movie like 9 years ago, but I can't remember what it was. Andy Robinson, who played Big Cop, Callahan, that guy. You never saw him ever again. Because he was just so unbelievably creepy, and then he just vanished. That's the thing. You know who else is like that? That guy who played James Gum in Silence of the Lambs. What the hell did I see him in? He was in something. The guy who played James Gum in Silence of the Lambs, he was in some movie 5-6 years ago. But, of course, it was completely distracting. You want to talk about a thing that just takes you right out of the motion picture. Sitting there watching something, and here comes the I'd F me guy right there on the screen. Can't get past that. Well, all right. Hello. It's 6 minutes and 14 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of July in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day, live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program. So forth. It's 503-733-2970. It is Wednesday, and welcome to Day 12. 503-733-2970 is our phone number. 503-733-2970. You want to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Sarah at 970.am. Tim at 970.am. Or Scotty J at 970.am. And speaking of Scotty J, he is standing by, ready to ferry your calls like Virgil, ferrying you across the River Styx, bringing your calls to us. Your calls about the wonderful, the benign, the tedious, the groundbreaking. Whatever it is you feel the need to weigh in on today, he will pass your calls along to us, and we will deal with them in turn. 503-733-2970 is phone number. Or you can email rick@rickemerson.com. What's coming up today? We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. There's something having to do with airport terror warnings or whatever, but I don't really care about that so much as I care about the fact that George Bush's disapproval rating is now one point away from being the lowest approval rating of any president in history. But that's not even the hook. The hook, my friends, is this. Is that if Bush's approval rating goes up one more, he will tie Richard Nixon 3 days before he resigned. And if it goes up two more, he will become more unpopular than any president in the history of the world. And I don't care whether you like George Bush or not. That's just interesting is what that is. Because Nixon is like, I don't know what the opposite of a gold standard is. A lead standard, I guess. Something. But Nixon had a disapproval rating of 66%, and that's 3 days before he resigned in 1974. So we'll see if Bush can beat that. I suspect he will. And you know that the media is waiting for that. You know, everybody's just waiting with bated breath to report that Nixon's disapproval has outstripped Nixon. And it's going to happen. You mark my words. It's going to happen. What else? We'll talk to... I've never heard of this guy. We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Mark Shearer. Shearer? I don't even know who that is. He's in New York City. And here's the thing. I don't really care about a sport, as they say in Britain, all that much. But I do care about bad things happening to people. And boy, this guy, this ref, this guy that was fixing all these games, he is more effed than... I mean, I know we just said this about Lindsay Lohan yesterday, but they're gonna screw this guy. They're going to take this guy out back, and they are going to draw and quarter him, and they are going to bury his remains in the four corners of the earth. This guy... No one will ever speak to this guy again. He's going to be friendless. He will wander the streets like Diogenes with a lamp. There's no one who's going to associate with this guy. And you know he had to have turned a bunch of his friends in, too, if he's getting a plea bargain. So, and I can't believe I'm talking about sports for like the third time in a week, but what are you going to do? I got a whole lot to say about this sports thing. So we'll talk about that with Mark Shearer from New York. Jim Roop is going to join us to talk about Lindsay Lohan. Here's my question about Lindsay Lohan. And maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but I'm going to ask Roop about this. California is the home, and I believe they are the pioneers of the, wait for it, three strikes and you're outlaw. And I mean, she got hit with two felonies in one day. Yep. Now, was she didn't have a felony conviction on her record already, does she?
Don't think so.
I think it's probation.
No, she was going to go to court for that, for her DUI and subsequent running.
How sweet would it be if she went to prison for life? I mean, that won't happen.
You know that won't happen.
But I mean, if she gets convicted of two felonies, it just takes one more. It just takes one more, and she's going away forever. Mandatory life in prison. Can you imagine? Can you imagine just the sweet golden talk radio nectar of Lindsay Lohan going to prison for life? And look, I'll just say this right here at the top, and then we got to move on because we got a busy show today. I know I'm supposed to feel sorry for her. I just can't. I just don't. I mean, I'm not saying that. Like, I'm not wishing something bad upon her, because clearly I don't even need to. Clearly, that's not even necessary at this point. She's just got the great gazoo hovering over her, just shoving cocaine into her pockets and calling the cops all the time. Obviously, I just feel indifferent. And you know what it is? It's not that like I'm waking up in the morning and rooting for something bad to happen to her. I mean, I guess I kind of am because it's more interesting. But it's not like I got a grudge against Lindsay Lohan. She hasn't done anything to me. It's just tremendously difficult for me to feel any sympathy for her because A, she's just kind of a useless junkie, and B, she just seems so phenomenally bitchy. She just seems like a bad, mean-spirited, awful person. And maybe I'm wrong, I'm not pretending to know her, but she just seems like a thoroughly awful person.
She really seems really lost.
I guess the mom should be taken out back and beaten senseless, too. Is it true that she's got two younger siblings?
Mm-hmm. And her mom was going to have a reality show based on being the mother of child stars.
They should still do it. They should make her do it. They should hold her to the... I'd actually watch it now. They should actually hold her feet to the fire and make her do a show now about being a successful mom. Just to watch her squirm on camera. All right, what else do we have? We will continue our hunt for the second worst story ever. We have another nominee today. We have a new contender to the throne. Is that right? Challenger to the throne? Pretender to the... Whatever. We have another nominee for the second worst story ever. We will spin the wheel of what do we do next, and we'll talk to the online celebrity database manager, Mr. Skin, later on, and all of that. We're joined today, as aren't we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I finished the book this morning.
I know.
Very exciting. I set my alarm for 7:30 a.m. and got my ass out of bed and finished it, even though my crackhead neighbor was up and at it.
And when you say crackhead...
I mean crackhead.
They smoke crack. That's wonderful.
Which was awesome, because I could hear the crack sounds coming through the house. Yes, as I'm reading Harry Potter and tearing up in chapter 33.
As Tim noted, you are ready for the suburbs, though. you and your friend Lisa can move in next door to each other and, you know, wear matching pink bonnets everywhere you go.
Live in the burbs.
Yes.
Yep, but regardless, yeah, I finished it. It was awesome.
How great is it, though?
It was so good.
Now, do you believe it the best in the series?
Yes.
I do.
Absolutely, because it's up and down, and you don't really know what to expect, and it's just pure chaos throughout the entire thing.
And I see we've already got Harry Potter questions here at the beginning of the show, as is the want of the people.
And can I just say, you know, any of the spoilers that we read, like, it was very surprising.
Yeah.
Because some things were right, some things weren't, some things were completely wrong. Like, all these things that are alleging to be spoilers, not so much spoilers as they are, don't even happen.
That leads into my question for you, which is, how long, because the book came out Friday night, how long do you think we should wait before, not like I'm going to come on and give spoilers someday, but how long do you think we should wait before we have any sort of frank discussion?
I'd say probably a week.
So next Monday.
Because a lot of people have to work. And
that's true. My wife just started it last night. Jeremy down the hall just started it this morning.
I'd say like next Monday.
All right. So
like give a weekend.
All right. So through the weekend and then next Monday.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it because there should
and
be
And I'll still
discussion.
Warn people, you know. But yeah, you that and you know exactly the chapter I'm talking about. You know, and here's the thing.
It was so good. I got goosebumps at the end. I was kind of depressed at the end. I'm like, that's
yeah.
it.
What did you think of the...
The ending?
Yeah, what did you think of that final 9 pages or whatever?
It's...
I feel harmless.
I think it could have just ended without that.
Yeah. I felt sort of indifferent, but I felt
Me
like
too,
it was
I mean,
a little
it was,
bit of an
it
appendix.
Was, it was... It, no, I can't... I don't want to say anything and give anything away.
How do you remember the ending? When they all died.
It had its charm. But it was also kind of, it seemed kind of contrived. I don't know.
I feel like, and Fatboy made this observation, that final 9 pages was her taking it back to the beginning and ending it as like a children's book.
Yeah.
Trying to sort of resolve things sort of in a very simple, plain kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. There you go. That was spoiler-free. Just as a side note, I often lament on this program, and I didn't realize this until you pointed this out today. I often lament on the show that we don't have cultural moments about like records or CD releases the way that we used to. And I always tell the story, which is one of the best stories I've ever heard, from a friend of mine who was around, and he was like 19, 20 years old when The Wall came out by Pink Floyd in 1980. And he talked about how everywhere he went that day, all of his friends would just say, "Hey, have you heard it?" And no one had to describe, no one had to say, "Have you heard The Wall?" No one had to say, like, "Have you heard the new Pink Floyd?" He just said, like, "Have you heard it?" And everybody knew what you were talking about. And I've always sort of lamented that, except, I guess, maybe for the new Metallica record at that time in 91, I've never had a moment like that with a record. I've never had, like, a Sgt. Pepper moment where everybody was like, "Have you heard it?" But you know what? That Harry Potter book is that. Because how many people have you talked to in the last few days are like, "Hey, so did you finish it?" And no one has to explain what they're talking about.
I was at a bar last night and I saw some. It's like an immediate kinship with people. Because, yeah, I have a bunch of people who make fun of me and whatever. That's fine. That's their thing. This is my thing. And I see, you know, an old, like, 45-year-old man sitting by himself with a big, like, glass of whiskey in front of him reading a Harry Potter book. I felt like an immediate bond with
him. Totally, yeah.
And I was going to talk to him, like, "Oh, what page are you on?" And he was a couple pages behind me. I'm like, "Oh, there's something good that happens in the next one."
And it's a kinship on, like, four different levels. It's a guy who likes to read. It's a guy who likes to read that series of books. That guy that cares enough about it to get it read right away. He's reading in public, which a lot of people will make fun of you for. You know, a lot of people will view, you know.
I was just afraid to read it in public because I was afraid some ass would be walking by being like,
"Double
hey!
Guys!" Yeah, whatever. No, I remember reading outside Bowers Bakery in Hawthorne and just being so afraid that people would walk by and go, "Harry dies on page 9, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, but, you know, it really is cool. It is kind of a collective consciousness sort of a thing. All right. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, speaking of Harry Potter nerds, don't forget about the IKEA nerds.
Thank you.
Yes, it's history in the making.
No.
It's the best day since the release of the Harry Potter book. IKEA finally opens in Portland.
Uh-huh.
People camped out for days for the chance to win a lawn chair?
Apparently so.
That's sad.
Are you? Can I just ask this right now? Are you or are you not in the IKEA camp?
No, I've
okay.
never bought
Well, I, no, I mean, I know that sometimes you and I stare at each other across a chasm, like when it comes to the iPhone, for example, or, you know, Macintosh things. Typically, it's computer stuff.
Well, furniture is low-tech.
I mean, I'm just, because I know Scotty is very much in the, "It's the greatest thing in the history of the world" when it comes to IKEA. All right, just checking. I wanted to make sure we were all on the same page.
No, my furniture is custom-made.
All right. But la-di-da.
Scotty's very excited about IKEA.
He really is.
And I only do it because I spend so much time at home inside, I demand to be comfortable inside my own home.
Oh, no. No, look, I'm the last person you have to explain that to. I am absolutely the last person. As, you know, Hugh Hefner once said in the early days of Playboy, he was talking about being a man of the great indoors, which is a phrase that I lifted. And he said, and he talked about how that it was to be understood, in fact expected, that you would spend the majority of your disposable income on things that went inside your home. Because he said, that is where you spend most of your time. That's where most modern people spend the bulk of their day, and so it is to be expected that it be exactly to your liking. Because why would you not want it to be? That's where you spend most of your day. So that would be like me. That would like be like me buying $5 headphones. You know, I mean, I blow $140 on my headphones when I have to get them because I wear them all day long. So,
and even when I am outside, I am on the second story balcony, so
looking down on the commoners.
Exactly.
That's wonderful.
And that, too, is my outdoor living room.
I love
it cannot
the show.
Be reached by the general public.
they can throw flowers, but that's it. Out there like Benito Mussolini with your arms crossed.
Yep.
Hello! I'm sorry, have we...
Oh, other stories.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Backstreet Boys get ready to release a comeback CD.
Oh, please.
Exploding cheese is America's newest homeland security threat. Perez Hilton reveals what Lindsay Lohan said to him. And zany comedian Rob Schneider dresses up and acts as Lindsay Lohan on Leno. And hijinks follow.
Okay. Well, let's just get these calls, and then we'll break here. Let's get the Harry Potter question first. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
I don't have a Harry Potter question.
I swear to God, are you Steve?
No, this is Andy. See ya.
For the love of... All right.
But anyway...
You know, you're... Yes. Yeah. Hi.
Has anybody here... but me. Seeing the guy on the west end of the Hawthorne Bridge that plays the trumpet and wears the Mickey Mouse ears.
Oh, yeah. I see him every day.
No, he's...
I have never seen that guy before. I had to pull over and give him a dollar because he's standing there with a sign saying, you know, please feed me.
And he's in two places. He is always at, as you said, the west end?
Yeah.
West end of the Hawthorne Bridge, and then he's on the corner of 10th and Burnside across from Powell's. That's his other place.
That's so great. He's got the little hand puppet that he puts on and does a little show.
You know what? And he can... No, and that guy can play, too.
And he's always on the corner.
I listened to him. I was stuck in traffic. He's damn good.
Yeah, no, that guy can... That guy knows what he's doing.
He's on front of the Baghdad, too, on the weekends.
Yeah, he's not a hack. Oh, that's true. That's right. He's also out there. You're right. Exactly.
I love that guy. Oh, and I can't stand Lindsay Lohan because... I don't like people to make a whole bunch of money and then just piss it away and then complain.
I'm with you. No, I'm with you, sir.
I have to work for a living. By the way, Rick, I hate you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now.
Oh, that Andy, he emails me all the time, and it's like, I love your show. I can't stop listening to it. I hate Rick. I hate Rick.
No, he signs all his emails to me like, hating you from, you know, Beaverton today. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Good morning, 970.
Hey, what's up, sir?
Hey, my question, I was the one, I'm Steve, asking the question for the Harry Potter.
This call screening is flawless today, yes?
I was wondering, did the actual thing on the internet, did it, when the guy who scanned the whole book, was he correct on that?
We probably shouldn't say at this point because to confirm... Let me put it this way. There are things floating around the internet, spoilers, and I will say this. It is notable that none of the reviewers, nobody on the internet has really addressed whether those are true or not, because to do so is to passively spoil yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in other words, and I'm just saying for the sake of example, this is not a real spoiler, but if somebody were to say, if a spoiler were to say, like, hey, Harry dies on page 50, and then somebody were to go, hey, you know, that leak about Harry dying on page 50 was wrong. Well, that in and of itself is kind of a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to wait till next Monday before we do anything. But I do have a whole lot to say about that.
Okay. And my other thing is if Lindsay Lohan, if she got a DUI, can't she do, like, take a diversion or something and not get that a felony in the state of California?
Well, this is her second DUI, though, and she's already on probation. So I don't know. We'll ask Jim Roop about that. He's going to be with us at 1. We're going to ask him about that. We're going to be following the long and winding road of Lindsay Lohan's travails in the legal system is just beginning.
Great. And my last thing is, screw IKEA.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye now. All right. Two more, and then we got a break. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick?
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
Sorry, I didn't know it was my turn.
Not at all.
No Harry Potter stuff, but I do love the quote, the book should have been called End of All Trees.
That's funny.
I think that would have made a great book.
Yes.
Did you have you ever seen? Speaking of slow motion, you said everything was better in slow motion.
Uh huh.
Did you ever see the Chappelle slow motion scene?
No.
Go to YouTube. It's one of those where I couldn't even breathe. I was laughing so hard.
All right. He's a funny guy. So is this a YouTube only thing?
Well, it was on a show, but they'll show it on YouTube.
Okay, I'll check it out. I feel like I missed the boat because I never watched Chappelle's show when it was on. It was just one of those things that was on, and then it was gone before I got a chance to watch it.
It's funny as balls.
All right, thank you. I'll check it out today. Thank you. And our final call, then we'll break. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
What's up?
The guy that played Jam Gum.
Yeah.
He is Tony Shalhoub's boss on Monk.
Oh, okay. All right.
And also, he played the father in The Hills Have Eyes.
That's where I saw him. Yeah. That's where I saw him, and how sad that I even know that.
And burned to death at the end. That was pretty nasty.
Yeah, he's just... Now, if I can just figure out where I saw Andy Robinson from the original Dirty Harry, then my whole thing will be complete.
I'll find that for you, because I saw him, too, and I'm trying to figure it out as well. I'll let you know.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, there you go, Andy Robinson. All right. Okay, we're going to break now. We'll come back. Lisa Goddard at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk to Mark Shearer from CNN about this NBA point-shaving, game-fixing thing. Tim Riley at the top of the hour with the noon news hour. We'll talk to Jim Roop and all of that coming up. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Somebody claims here that Andy Robinson from the Dirty Harry, the original Dirty Harry, was a barber in Deep Space Nine. Deep Space Nine? Oh, you know, I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of Deep Star 6. And I'm probably the only person on the earth to reference Deep Star 6 on a radio program this month. Let's write that down. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from The Hill. CNN Radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello, Lisa. How are you today?
Well, hello. How are you?
I am dandy. I'm fantabulous. I'm fantastic.
Wow.
I'm all of those things and more. I'm more superlatives than you could shake a thing at.
You are all adjectives, no nouns.
That's exactly it. Can I just read to you?
Really.
What's that?
That's a good day, really.
Let me just read to you the nerdiest email that we're going to get all day today.
Wow.
I mean, the nerd bar has already been, somebody has vaulted right over it, and I know you will appreciate this. We were talking a little bit about Harry Potter here, and about the shared communal experience. One might even say the shared collective, either consciousness or unconsciousness, of everybody feeling compelled to read Harry Potter. So
we're
talking about going out in public, seeing other people reading it. I got this from a listener. Yesterday on the way home on the Max, which is our light rail system here, an enormous black man who looked to be about one cheeseburger away from a defibrillator sat down next to me. I was scowling because he took up so much of my space and was crowding into me. Then I lightened up when I saw that he was reading his new Harry Potter book and was about a third of the way through it. I was reading my even geekier copy of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets in Latin. All was right with the world.
No. Well,
there you go. It's from a woman who emails us quite frequently. She's read the entire series, and now she's going back and reading them all in Latin. You've got to admire that. You really do. That is just off the charts wonderful and nerd-like.
I'm amazed by that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I, at one point...
I think that's kind of cool in a nerdy way.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
We have our legendary bookstore here, Powell's, and they had actually a whole selection of pop culture books, by which I mean books that are just very widely read and well-known in Latin. They have Winnie the Pooh in Latin. That was on sale a couple weeks ago.
I got to get that. That is really cool.
I had this moment when I was about 20 when I wanted to learn Latin just because it seemed kind of cool and it has such a... It's so prominent in the worlds of medicine and law.
Right.
But then I discovered, and I know that this is perhaps an understatement, but I discovered that Latin is hard. So...
Latin is hard. Language is hard.
Thinking
I actually grew up going to Latin Mass.
I didn't grow up with it as such, but when I was about 11 years old, and then we're getting sidetracked, but when I was about 11 years old, we were going to this one church, blah, 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 and my dad was just a big pinheaded redneck, and we were going to this church, and we got a new priest. The old priest died or was transferred or whatever, and we got a new priest, and the priest at one point during his sermon said that we as Catholics, regardless of what Catholics may believe about their practices, that we as Catholics should love our homosexual brothers and sisters, because they too were creatures of God, you know, and my dad was just like, that's it, we're never, this godless church, and like the next week, we never went back there again. Like, he drove us like across town, like 40 minutes out of our way every Sunday to go to a church that like didn't recognize Vatican II.
Homosexuals.
Oh, yeah, they it's like
Vatican. He was an openly hating church.
It's like Vatican II had never happened. We went to this church. They did the church. They did the Mass in Latin. The priest had his back to the congregation the entire time.
We're teetering on a Mel Gibson conversation.
Oh, no. It was
edge.
No. Yeah, my dad was a prize.
This is what I need to know. I know you guys have certainly said this on air, but I just don't know. Have you read the whole book?
The Harry Potter.
Yeah. Do you know what happens?
Sarah finished it this morning. I finished it about a day or so ago.
Okay.
We're the only two members of the Rick Emerson Show who will be reading it.
I do know what happened, but that's because I went online and basically skipped ahead. A friend of mine had it. I am the type that can handle reading the last page of the book, and I will still read the whole book. But yeah, so I cheated.
But you cheated yourself because the last page of the book doesn't even really have anything to do with the whole book.
I know, and that's why I went online to find
Lisa.
Out what really happened.
Lisa, we're thinking less of you right now. Right now, your tote board is falling.
No. You know what? Can I get honesty points?
Mm.
I know there are people out there that have done this.
That's like
saying, there are Rick Emerson listeners.
You know, getting honesty points, that's like shooting my dog and then wanting points because you came like, hey, I shot your dog, FYI.
I'm not hurting anybody else. I'm only, you know, perhaps hurting myself, as Sarah would.
You know, but you know what? The Rick Emerson audience has great love for you. And so, of course, when you hurt yourself in the eyes of the Rick Emerson audience, you also hurt them. Because if you listen, if you listen very carefully, you can hear the sounds of, you know, like thousands of souls crying out and then suddenly being silenced.
Oh,
that's okay.
I'm regretting it.
No.
But I'm loving the Star Wars.
All right. No, it's okay. Can't unring that bell, Lisa Goddard.
All right.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Move forward now. Well, you know, listen to this stunning segue. There is one person more popular than you. That's George. Did you see that Bush is 1 point away from matching Nixon's disapproval rating 4 days before he resigned?
Yes, how about that?
I mean, and when I say it's wonderful, I mean just in a sense of I love it when stuff happens. So it's...
And he's not there. I mean, there's a couple of Republican senators. I just saw approval numbers for them just kind of going south really fast.
It's the American people just hate everyone who is a politician right now. I mean,
right.
They just hate everybody. And so I know that...
More than others, but yeah.
The Bush administration is desperately trying to... not rid themselves of the Iraq war, but at least justify it, I think, a little bit, because they know what a big millstone it is. And so the big criticism from people who oppose the war, one of them is, anyway, has been that that Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm.
which any number of people who are or were in the administration have seemed to concur with over the last couple of years. But now, what the president is making some claim now that the Al-Qaeda in Iraq is or was or is related to the Al-Qaeda that was responsible for 9/11. Am I getting this at all right?
Yes, you're right. This is the president's speech yesterday in Charleston, South Carolina, in which he said the words Al-Qaeda 93 times in a single speech. So clearly there's a message that he's trying to send. And he does have a point, though, Rick, in that Al-Qaeda in Iraq is associated with Al-Qaeda in Pakistan,
right,
where we believe Osama bin Laden is. But it's sort of in the same way that here's a weird metaphor, in the way that you and I are affiliated. You know, we get along, we help each other, but, you know, we have different homes.
It's not like I'm at your house for dinner.
Different agendas, those kinds of things. We read Harry Potter in different ways, those things.
Yes.
But there is a lot of overlap, and the fact is that the two Al-Qaedas, Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda in Iraq, help each other. They do have similar agendas. Al-Qaeda in Iraq is particularly notable because it is the only other Al-Qaeda affiliate that has openly said, we want to attack on U.S. soil.
So are these like different franchises of the same company?
Almost, but they sort of, I think what happened is there was a great name, Al-Qaeda, got a lot of attention.
Right.
And I don't think that they necessarily got Osama bin Laden's permission to open up the franchise, but I think they started out doing well.
I know exactly what this is like.
What is it like?
I don't know how familiar you are with restaurants in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, there is this fantastic restaurant called Tommy's.
Okay.
And Tommy's sells this thing. Their trademark item is a Tommy Burger.
Okay.
And a Tommy Burger is this huge cheeseburger that's covered in chili, and it's got like, it's 9,000 calories. And they also sell a Tommy Dog and so forth. And Tommy's is legendary in Los Angeles and some of the outlying areas of Burbank and so forth, but not really known anywhere else. Except about a year ago, there was a place that opened up here called Tommy's. Same logo, same font, same menu.
Oh.
And if you asked them, because my wife grew up eating Tommy's, and if you asked them, he's like, hey, are you related to are you of the Burbank Tommy's? They were like, yeah, we're the same place, same organization, same company. They claimed to my face that they were related to Tommy Burger in Los Angeles. Well, about 6 weeks later, like a big cease and desist order comes down, and now they're bankrupt and the building is gone because it turns out that they did it all without the knowledge of Tommy's in Los Angeles. So
I think it is kind of like that, although it's possible that there was some connection as Al-Qaeda in Iraq was being formed. So we're not clear how it came about, but they are... The hierarchy isn't clear, but, yeah, you're right. It's the same concept. They took a concept that was working in Pakistan, I guess, for the terrorists, for your terrorists out there. They took the number one brand name, and they applied it in Iraq, working with Osama bin Laden, but not necessarily underneath him. So the president is right that Al-Qaeda in Iraq is a very serious threat to the United States. It is an organization that has relatively few people in Iraq. I think one of our correspondents said it's less than 1% of all the fighters in Iraq are actually Al-Qaeda in Iraq. But they have incredible damage. They are able to do a lot with a very small amount of people. That's one reason for the concern. But at the same time, as the president says, we've got this threat in Iraq, so we have to keep our troops there. We've got to keep up the pressure, because if we leave, it will give them this country with which to set up their bases. He has a legitimate point there, but this is so complicated because on the other side of the equation, the fact is also that Al-Qaeda in Iraq was able to rise to such strength because of the U.S. invasion. And if we had not invaded Iraq, there wouldn't have been that kind of leverage, that pivot point that allowed for such recruiting in Iraq and brought that organization there. Most of al-Qaeda in Iraq is from other countries, including Jordan and Saudi Arabia, other countries. But because of the invasion, Iraq is where they've centered. So it's a bit of a catch-22. Regardless of whether we stay or we leave, there are some benefits to this organization. The question is how to overcome that and hurt them more than we help them.
Well, that's
does that make
wonderful.
Sense? I feel
yeah.
like you just went and got a soda. And
No, I'm listening. It just as you were describing the fact that we're there and we sort of exacerbated, if not created, the problem, but now it's incumbent upon us to fix this thing that we created by trying to fix it in the first place. I just had an image of that old cartoon where Raggedy Ann and Andy are fighting that taffy monster. So that's that's really what came into my head. So I swear to God, that's what I was thinking about. Let's see. Now, you know, Scotty, God bless whoever this is calling in, but yesterday we had probably what might have been the worst question ever for a CNN radio correspondent. It was that guy who just, hey, did you see that bumper sticker? And then that was kind of the end of that. So, you know, just tell that guy that I think...
sticker, right?
Yeah, there's somebody on hold, and I suspect it's going to end up being... Seeing the guy hung up, here's what it is. I suspect it was somebody who was calling in under the cover, the guise of asking about al-Qaeda, which Scotty spelled with two Ks, by the way.
No.
But I think that it probably would have degenerated into some snarky comment about Harry Potter pretty quickly. So we're just going to avoid that. We're going to eschew that.
Oh, I'm almost fascinated to see if you're right, but I trust you.
I'm also not going to read the various emails coming in that carry phrases like, let me, Rick, I thought you'd like to know Lisa Goddard is now dead to me.
Oh, no.
They're
quick. This is terrible. I had no idea. Yeah. I really thought that I was with the masses on this.
Well, if that's the lie that lets you sleep at night, Lisa.
I'm not telling anybody anything. I'm still going to read the book. But I just don't have time right now, and I can't. I know that I'm going to. I know. It's essentially that there's many a sitcom
it's
has
okay.
had the episode where the characters are all trying not to see the score of the game, and they all do various things to avoid the television. But I feel like I'm doomed.
Is that a Sports Night reference?
Sports Night is one. That is a good example. I think also... what's the new one? It's like How I Met Your Mother.
All right.
Recently had one.
I understand. Look, Rick Emerson understands your journalistic instincts.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to be able to read this book until after October, and I know by then someone is going to tell me what happened, and I would rather find out on my own.
That's okay. You know what? It's not really me. It's just I'm merely the messenger passing along the vibe of the people.
It's completely you.
Okay, it's a little bit me.
100% you. You are the Karl Rove of this movement.
Really? Can I get you to write that down? Rick Emerson is the Karl Rove of AM 970. That's fantastic. All right. Hey, let me ask you that real quickly, and we got like 10 seconds here. What do you know about Mark Shearer, who works in New York City for CNN?
Not much.
All right. I've never heard of him. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. And then I got to talk to him and be pleasant and colloquial in like 12 seconds.
Believe he is a freelancer.
All right. Excellent. So he's not the... All right. So well, I'm just going to have to wing it, I guess.
All the more.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day, my friend. We will talk to you soon, Lisa.
Thanks, guys. I'll get up to you.
Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hill.
All right. Well... What are you going
to
do?
She was starting to get a little worked up.
I'm just saying.
She did disappoint me, though.
What am I going to say? Well, that's okay. I don't think less of you.
I feel like I've regained a little more power in my life now that I finished that book. Because I feel like at any time I'm walking around, any moment someone could be talking about it.
Yeah.
Now I feel good. Now I feel free to say such comments.
No, it's true. I've actually heard from several people who sped read their way through it. Just so they could be, not have it spoiled for them, and now they're going to go back and kind of read it again at their leisure.
Norman Chris just said that he has finished reading it for the second time.
Well, he had to read it really quickly because the Oregonian was having him do a review for it. And I don't know if that's coming. I don't know when that's going to be published. But I know he got tapped to do. He was twice. There was one where he got the Oregonian pegged him to do a review of the new Harry Potter, and then I know that I think it was like K2 or Coin did a piece on him where they showed him delivering the last copy. On Friday or Saturday,
look
whenever
at
it was.
He's a little star.
No, he's got a little niche. He's totally, he's maximizing that. So, anyway, so I'm done. I finished it. I've read it. I'll probably let Lara read it. And she's another one. She's like, well, it's going to take me weeks. And I'm like, wait, weeks? What are you doing? I mean, seriously, I know it's 800 pages long, but seriously. I mean, so, well, whatever. Doesn't matter to me. I'm done with it. All right, we got Mark Shearer, who's going to join us about a minute and a half ago.
Uh-oh. Not off to a good start, Mark.
We'll see. Yeah, seriously, this is... I mean, I know that Lisa has set the bar pretty low for audience approval today, but you're late, my friend. It's 503-733-2970. Before we do, well, let me see if I can find something small then to do. This is always the awkward thing. It's not that we don't have stuff to talk about or to do.
You just don't want
to
get started and then he calls.
That's the thing. I was talking to Bruce about this. I was talking to Bruce Agler, who, of course, had his long laundry list of things at which I fail every day. And I was noting that there are these awkward moments in the program where we are between segments. And I'm looking down at all of these things that I could be reading, but it seems like all of them are going to trigger long discussions or phone calls or something that I don't have time for because presumably the CNN guy is going to be calling us like any second. Well, let me just read this one. And you know what? I'm going to start reading it, and I'm going to trigger the call from Mark Shearer. He's going to call in. All right. I'm going to read you this. Here's a quote. Now, we played at the top of the program today. This was our opening speech. Right here,
the man is nefarious.
Indiana Jones, right here, the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
He is not yet acquired.
So great.
Why are you willing to offer more?
Most certainly. Yes, I know you. And I've lifted a line from that I use all the time, which is that time has passed. It's just the most wonderful thing. But I got into this big, I won't say a big conflagration, but I did get into a little bit of a face-off with Court and Fatboy the other day about this. Because I wrote, and Scotty, while we're actually talking about this, can you give CNN a ring and track down what the deal with this Mark Shearer guy is? Because I don't even know if I should be waiting for him, if I should just be plunging on ahead and doing my own thing. So if you can call CNN and just say, hey, what the hell? And this is not another Harry Potter discussion, but at the Harry Potter release party, we had the red shirts down there, the street team. And did red shirt, did that term exist before Galaxy Quest, or is that a term that was like out there in the sort of geek ether that Galaxy Quest ended up using? Because the red shirt is always the guy who dies. You know, the red shirt's the guy who gets sent down to...
I thought it was from Star Trek.
Well, that's what I mean, but it's a fan term. Like, they don't use it on the show. Like, a red shirt, though, is always the guy, because he's always the one not in the... Because, like, Captain Kirk had the gold, you know, shirt, and then Spock had the blue shirt, and then there was always, like, Ensign Smith.
Didn't Scotty have the red shirt, though? I'm pretty sure.
Maybe. Aaron would know. But there was always like some guy like you, Ensign McKenzie, go down to the tentacle planet and go down to the acid planet and see what's happening. And that guy would always get killed. And so they've always been referred to in the parlance, in the geek parlance, as the red shirts. And the red shirts are always the guy who get killed. And our street team, they have these big, bright red shirts that say AM970 staff on it. So we just started calling them the red shirts. But anyway, so the station red shirts were all down at the Harry Potter release on Friday. And they were putting up banners, and they had the vehicle down there and everything, resplendent in its license plates. It still says 107.5. And we created this little flyer from the hangout, and it was a transcription of that What a Geek Believes speech that I did with Cord and Fatboy in the studio the day, because I figured that they would be sort of into it. And so one of the lines in the What a Geek Believes speech is the line, I believe that Belloc ate the fly. And that's a reference to Raiders of the Lost Ark, when Belloc, who is Indiana Jones's foe, who was also trying to find the Ark of the Covenant, there is this sequence, and it's when they're down in the ravine, and Indy is up with the rocket launcher, and he's got the rocket launcher pointed at the Ark of the Covenant, and he says, and Belloc says, go ahead, Jones, blow it back to God. And there's that whole discussion. There is this fly that lands on the actor's face while he's talking, and it's sort of crawling over his face, and the actor's doing his best to keep his composure, and he's not talking. And the fly, though, kind of crawls over his mouth, and then it vanishes. And if you watch the movie, I swear to God, it looks like the actor swallows the fly. And I know that a whole generation of moviegoers grew up thinking that they saw the guy eat the fly in the movie.
Well, damn it, now I'm going to have to rewatch that.
Well, anyway, so...
By the way, Aaron Geek just wrote, and I was right on both counts. Red shirt comes from Star Trek, and Scotty had one.
Excellent. Well done, Aaron. So anyway, so on the What a Geek Believes transcript, I wrote, I believe that I saw Belloc eat the fly. And I spelled it B-E-L-L-O-C-H, Belloc, you know, with a C-H at the end. And here's why I did that. Because in Raiders of the Lost Ark...
Oh, God.
I'm just saying, and then we'll talk to Mark Shearer, who's on hold. In Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indy is talking to Sala, and Sala is describing this other man who's looking for the Ark of the Covenant. And Sala describes him as... Sala mispronounces his name and says, Belosh. And then Indy, you know, laughs and says, no, Belloc, not Belosh, Belloc, Belloc. And if the name can be mispronounced as Beloch, but it's really Belloc, I assumed it was B-E-L-L-O-C-H. And that's how I wrote it. And
but
so,
you're not talking about the creepy guy. You're talking about the doctor, right?
I'm talking about the British guy.
Okay.
Who at the beginning steals the golden idol, mm-hmm. you know. If only
and
you
he's
spoke.
All sweaty and icky.
Too bad you can't warn them. If only you spoke Jovitos. You know that guy? Boy, this is just the longest discussion I've ever had about something stupid.
And we have a new CNN correspondent waiting on the line.
I'll get to him
hearing
in like
all this.
10 seconds. But according to the shooting script, which Fatboy found and then shoved in my face, because somebody went by my office and they defaced my What a Geek Believes poster. And they wrote, it's spelled with a Q. Ha ha. I don't believe that to be the case. I believe it to be spelled with a C-H, even though the shooting's... Because how could you mispronounce B-E-L-L-O-Q as Beloch? That just doesn't make any sense. The empiric evidence indicates that Belloc is spelled C-H. I don't care what the shooting script says. There you go. Done. Bam. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show a man who is no doubt truly horrified by the content of this program, CNN radio correspondent Mark Shearer. Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you?
Hello, my friend. Now, we have not had the pleasure of speaking before. How's life in the big city? How are things? How's your existence?
I was just sitting there with my jaw hanging down to the floor listening to this discussion because... I'm here today to talk about Indiana Jones and the case of the missing NBA logo. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
I really don't. But you know what? Feel free to expound upon that, my friend.
Okay. The NBA held a news conference yesterday. You
right.
might have heard about
yes.
a little trouble they had with a referee.
Yes.
What was interesting about that news conference was the NBA logo was nowhere to be seen, not on the podium, not on the platform behind the commissioner. It was that dark a day for the National Basketball League.
And is that because Stern didn't want to be talking about point shaving with the logo in the background?
He wanted to be anywhere but there that day, but it is a definite, normally the NBA would be proud to meet with the press. They always are.
Let me ask you a question here, because for those, and we don't talk about a lot of sports on the show, but this is a big enough thing in the culture. My producer, Sarah Dillon, and I were at a little social event yesterday afternoon, and her boyfriend was there. And her boyfriend's very much a man, much more so than I am. But it was the greatest thing. For once in my miserable life, I was able to relate to him man to man. I was able to go, hey, how about that NBA point shaving scandal? Because it's a thing, it's so big that I'm aware of it. If they got this ref in the NBA to cop a plea on point shaving, fixing games, whatever you want to call it, does that not indicate that he probably rolled over on some other guys to get the plea agreement? Aren't there? Were you going to see other refs outed here?
Yeah, he is said to be cooperating. Well, there's also a report that when he surrenders, two other individuals will be surrendering.
Oh.
They will be bookies. The commissioner of the NBA swears that, as far as he knows, this is an isolated incident. We have to take him at his word. The NBA goes to great lengths to study the actions of their referees and also to delve into their backgrounds to check up on their behavior. And this is one of the embarrassing things in this case. 2 years ago, they were looking into this particular referee's behavior, but he said that everything was fine and they took him at his word.
And so if they... Because there's so many of these games now that they're looking at that this guy was officiating where seconds were put back on the clock, or these players would be interviewed afterward and they'd say something like, well, it's a shame that the game had to be decided by the ref or so ever. But this is like the pebble in the pond, right? That it's just going this affects not only regular season games, but this affects playoffs. There's going to be no way to calculate the damage. The effect that this had. I mean, it's beyond imagining.
Well, it could be, indeed. In terms of how it shakes the faith of the people in yet another American institution, that's more troubling. I mean, there are a lot of people for whom sports is the one thing that keeps them going. And if they can't believe in the veracity and the truthfulness of what they see on their TV screens while watching a late West Coast playoff game, perhaps involving Portland, let's say.
Yes.
It really, along with the other scandals in sports these days, it really kind of shakes,
yeah,
shakes your face.
It's a bad month to be a professional athlete or a professional fan of professional athletics at all. It's a bad
really
couple
is.
Of weeks.
It really is. And you know, some of these people, you just wonder what motivates them. They're handsomely rewarded. This referee, for example, in his most recent season made $260,000.
Mm.
that, of course, is just maybe a week's pay for some of the star players of the NBA, but that's a substantial amount of money. And it just goes to show that if he indeed, as the reports indicate, got in trouble gambling himself, even outside of betting on sports games, what a terrible disease gambling is.
Yeah, no, I really, they ought to take all of these guys, give them and Michael Vick some reality show, all of their own. All right. my friend, thank you. It was good to talk to you. I don't know if we'll speak again in the future, but enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
It was my pleasure.
All right, Mark Shearer in New York City for CNN. There you go. All right. You got to give it to the guy. It didn't really work, but he tried to do a little segue there at the beginning. Kind of ham-handed. But you
really did sound like an authentic New Yorker.
Points for style. Well, real quick, we'll answer the Belloc question. We'll break and come back with Tim Riley. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, you just mentioned that Belloc was British. Wasn't he actually French?
Is that his name is like Jean Blablat Belloc? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So,
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Do you have an answer on the spelling, sir?
On the spelling, you know what? I believe that there's a Q on the end of that because just as recognition through like the trading cards and
right.
the action figures and such, but you can't trust everything you see on the trading cards, such as like on the Empire Strikes Back first edition cards of the Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker. They're different ages.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
They're labeled as different ages.
Let me ask you this though: do you have any thoughts on how Belloc with a Q could be mispronounced as Belloc with an SH?
Well, have you seen the Saturday Night Live with the three people that all have the same name that it's some various pronunciation of Nooney?
No, I have not. But you're saying that this, but I get the gist. So you're saying that you're suspecting. My question is,
maybe
like,
they can't pronounce a CH sound, so
well,
it just defaults to an SH in their language.
And I think Salah might be Egyptian, so maybe, I don't know, maybe their Q, maybe there's an alternate pronunciation of the letter Q in Egyptian that is like an SH kind of a thing.
Kind of like a J is
like an H sound in the the Spanish languages. All right, thank you, sir.
But if all those people are Egyptian, where would they have seen his name in print and then recognized how to read that in English or even French?
Oh, see, now you're making my head hurt.
All right,
all right, bye. Last call, then we'll break. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I need to agree with that other guy. Yes, he is French. He's not English.
Okay.
And when he's speaking to everyone, you've got to understand that in the movie, he's a French man working for Germans. They're employing the Egyptians. And then Salah, who is also Egyptian, is speaking to an American. You've got five different people, five different languages. So, of course, there's going to be some mix-up around there. And Salah can obviously read. So, and I'm sure people are going to get names wrong.
And so you're thinking that Sarah's
just in translation, if you're looking at it from a real world point of view, just in the translation, you've got a bunch of illiterate Egyptians that are trying to figure out how to talk to these people, and then you've got a bunch of nerf herding Nazis, and of course they're going to obviously detest the French, so yeah, of course people are going to be talking about other people, and they're going to say the names wrong.
So
if you're looking at it from a real world point of view, sure,
Sarah,
he could be named all sorts of things.
Sarah is giving me what can only be described as the look right now.
Aaron wrote me an email calling you very, very stupid.
I know. No, of course.
You totally blew it, and you printed all of those out.
No, I know. Court and Fatboy Fatboy found a copy of the shooting script, and he's like, here's the shooting script, shut up. And so I'm not disacknowledging that. I mean, I acknowledge it in the movie, in the script, it's spelled with a Q. I'm just saying.
If you want to do it phonetically, then go ahead and do it with a CH.
I'm
going
to continue to spell it with a CH, just on principle. All right, thank you.
Yeah, and just to annoy all the rest of us, right?
Yes, I will. And I'm going to keep calling him English, too. Thank you.
Outstanding. Thank you, sir.
By the way, points for use of the phrase nerve-herding Nazi. We're going to break after this, or break now, actually. Coming back after this, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth with the new News Hour. Later on, James Roop about Lindsay Lohan and the other stories of comedy and so forth. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. That's going to be misconstrued.
Your heart's in the right place.
It's the... That'll be our new liner. His heart's in the right place. Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2970. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, will you please bid a warm hello to Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Hundreds of robotic, mindless people line up for the new IKEA store opening.
They open their doors at 9 a.m. Isn't this like the second or third time they open? I think they do this once a week.
I thought that I thought IKEA opened last Friday.
So did I.
What are these people?
Well, you can fool the people if you tell them that it's the grand opening.
So the grand opening is today?
Yes.
What time? Did it already happen?
It already happened.
Okay. But weren't people lining up like...
Yeah.
I swear to Christ, people were lining up last Friday.
I swear this already opened a couple times.
They were getting...
Maybe that was a soft open.
It was
a soft trampling.
There was a big article in the Oregonian last week where they showed color photos, and there were people out there, they're getting a chair and so forth. Mm-hmm. I call shenanigans on this. I don't understand. Well, and
they're
going to
do it again next week.
I don't even really care. There ought to be some gimmick where they make every opening the grand opening.
People actually camped out for some unknown reason.
Yes, they're called idiots.
Hundreds are in line. Dozens of people arrived to connect traffic control. There are street musicians, jugglers, as well as snowboarders, and people jumping up and down on trampolines.
And before somebody calls to make a preemptive, what's the difference between this and Harry Potter? Really, I could sit and give you some long, you know, monologue about the difference between Harry Potter and an IKEA store. But really, if you need the monologue to explain it to you, then probably the explanation is going to ring out of your empty skull anyway and not do any of us any good. So I'm just going to skip it. I don't understand. It's sort of like the Studio 54 of furniture stores, isn't it? Not really anybody inside that you care about. Not really anything all that exotic or interesting. It's just the fact that there's a rope outside and you've been told you have to wait to get in. And that's kind of what makes it fascinating to people.
All right. So 400 people are going to work through it. That's how big it is. And, if you ride the Max to get there, you get a discount on delivery charges.
Scotty is now saying...
Imagine trying to pull an entertainment center onto the red line.
Well, I don't even know. That's the other thing. You're either going to have to go on the Max or it's going to work. Because, of course, everything they sell there has got to be gigantic and reinforced to hold the massive American asses of the people who shop there. Or you're going to be on the highway going there, which is going to make a bad stretch of road already more, you know, which is already congested.
Well, ODOT is using message boards to help direct traffic. But there's only one way to get there.
Yeah, I wanted to direct traffic. Get on the highway, and there you go. Scotty says that they've been camping there for 3 days. The first 100...
got a free chair.
They got a free plastic chair. Not just a chair, Tim. They got a free chair made of high-quality American plastic.
It's an IKEA quality one.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, even the stuff that's made out of metal and wood at IKEA apparently falls apart after like a day or so. So I got to... And everything you buy at IKEA has to be assembled. That's the other thing. I'm not complaining. I mean, whatever. But, I mean, everything you buy there... Look, I will tell you this. I have in my home IKEA furniture that was purchased. I really have to say that unless they were just giving it to you, actually paying you to take it, it seems like it was almost certainly overpaid for. I will not say that any of the furniture in my home that is from IKEA is impressive. It all feels like it's about to break when you touch it. I mean, that's the thing. And I can say this with impunity because they don't advertise here.
You're not
going
to be asked to do live reads.
No, they don't even advertise, right? Because they're like Starbucks. They don't need to.
No.
They're just that own, you know. And IKEA is a made-up word. I'm convinced of it. I'm pretty sure that IKEA is another one of those made-up Swedish words like Haagen-Dazs that means nothing, you know? It's a word like Farfugnugan or something. Scotty is trying to convince his wife to go tonight. Really? She needs convincing? I mean, you both do live in the suburbs. I would figure that would be... I mean, I figured you'd have to chain her down to keep her away from it. Well, whatever. All right, so there you go. IKEA's open. Have at it.
And they're expected to make between 50,000 and 100 meatballs for the grand opening.
Yeah. Go there and buy some hot wings on the way home.
Young women are excited to get free T-shirts. People are jumping up and down on trampolines.
Let's see. We've got somebody sent me an interesting IKEA email today. Where did it go? This is about the grand opening. Let's see. Ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba. Okay. Rick, one of my friends called me this morning moments before IKEA opened. I answered the phone and it sounded like he was being mauled by zombies on crack. It sounded like absolute chaos. But I do have a question for you. This is not the email I was looking for. This is a guy asking about comparing that with the Harry Potter. Okay, here we go. Apparently, at the IKEA opening ceremony, they raised the American flag and sang the anthem, then the Swedish flag and their godless Norse anthem. When they attempted to raise the Oregon flag, the raising mechanism, this is so appropriate for IKEA, the raising mechanism broke, and they had to state... We'll have the poll fixed by later today. It sounds like some sort of an omen, perhaps how IKEA will destroy Oregon. No, it's just, it is emblematic of any structure or piece of equipment sold at IKEA that you tried to use it properly and it broke. So there you go. All right. Somebody was probably trying to do a video. And that's when things usually go wrong at Oregon. This guy says the people that lined up last Friday were forced to go home. They had to have a new line start. Is that true? Oh, I hope it is. I hope it is. Let's see. All right. Well, just the people are just sending me all kinds of IKEA emails now trying to clarify this. All right. Let's see. What have we got here? Is this, are these IKEA calls? You know, the funny thing is when I say IKEA in my head, I hear that old, the Chia Pet jingle. You know, that Chia. All right. IKEA. Nah, I got nothing. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
And now the mayor wants to build a central site to put day laborers. As many as 300 day laborers stand on Portland sidewalks every day looking for work.
Is that code for something when they say day laborers?
Yes, they're illegal aliens.
And this is Tom Potter talking about this?
Yes.
Of course.
As you know, he always goes as far to the left as possible.
Uh-huh.
It's going to cost $200. No, I'm sorry, it's going to cost $200,000 to build this site where we're at day laborers. So some people are concerned. Some say the mayor is abiding and aiding illegal activity, now using taxpayer dollars for a central hiring site. Why not open up a city brothel? That's a good idea. So a lot of people are upset about it.
Well, a brothel would make more money. A brothel would actually make money for the city as opposed to...
Brothels go back in the city's history a long time.
Yeah. Oh, you know, Aaron has both the Portland Underground mm-hmm. and the Portland City Confidential, if anybody wants to borrow them, apparently.
Oh.
So he does have both. Because I went home, and apparently the Portland Underground thing didn't tape. It conflicted with one of Lara's, like, reality, like her trading...
It might be on again.
Trading black program. So I wasn't able to watch it. Oh, somebody sent me the most horrifying screenshot from K2. K2.com, live now, K2 News at midday with Carl Click. And, of course, the lead story, new IKEA store opens doors.
Yeah, they had a helicopter flying over it this morning.
Goddamn furniture store! I mean, look, I know that this makes me sound... I don't want to this whole thing, because then it just sounds like I'm just being some obnoxious talk show host bitching about some pop culture trend. But seriously, it's a goddamn furniture store. This is like that whole, and people who were in agony the other day, because Likas was talking about this. The people who were like, he considered a huge news story that Starbucks is raising all their prices. Goddamn coffee, who cares? I mean, it's overpriced, it's going to continue to be overpriced, what do you want? But there's a screenshot of all of these people waiting in front of the IKEA store, and they're all fat, they're all white.
And they're all waving American flags.
No, but they are all wearing shirts that say, I heart IKEA. Within this church are trying, and come here, come look at it. Come to the thing, I'm making it up. Come look at this photograph of these mouth breathers who are wearing this. Look at that. Oh. That's why you don't want to shop there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you don't want to be like those people.
That's why all promotional T-shirts come in extra, extra large.
Really? And you know there's a huge box of Krispy Kreme donuts sitting there, too. You just know it.
No, it's not there any longer.
An empty box of crumbs that's been licked clean. all right. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway. So, there you go. Let's see. I had something else to... well, we got these IKEA calls, of course. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I'm a delivery driver, and last week I was driving out by the new IKEA, and they had a private opening, or who, I don't know. But they had security guards out blocking off all the parking lot.
Right.
And I had to deliver paint to a building next door to there. And the security guards are like, whoa, 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 stop. You can't drive in there. And, you know, they're letting in only so many people or people with Lexuses. I don't know. But it was pretty funny.
Those are the people who paid for the advance entry to. Yeah, somebody sent me another one saying, look at these mouth breathers, and it's the same. I'm getting the same photo sent to me over and over again.
Yeah.
And it really is. I mean, they have just blanketed the local news coverage. It's astounding.
Yeah.
Really is. All right, thank you.
I mean, it's our Lindsay Lohan story.
IKEA is our Lindsay Lohan. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I don't know if they did it here, but I do know down south in California when they opened the Kia store, because I helped build that one.
Uh-huh.
They paid a local station to come out with their helicopter.
That's hard to believe. I'm stunned.
I don't think anyone would accept such a thing.
No, of course, there's no such thing as checkbook journalism, sir. You must be mistaken.
Maybe. I have no idea. Hey, I got one other thing, too. Did Scotty ever forward you my submission for the worst story ever?
I don't know. What was it about? Did it have the word pool cue?
No, it had the words two-year-old boy and Pitbull.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to read that story.
No.
That was on the morning show on Fat Boy Station.
Yeah, that story's unpleasant enough that we're not going to read it, I think.
It's got to be the worst story ever.
Yeah, it really is, but
we'll
not
find another one.
Yeah, no, there's another one today. Trust me, I got one. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, man.
All right, thank you.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye now. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, here's a new warning for the nation's airports. It comes from the Transportation Security Administration, which is asking security officials to be watching for ordinary items that look like components for improvised explosive devices. The TSA spokesman Ellen Howe says cheese could become very dangerous.
Cheese could have a consistency similar to certain explosives. So what we want to do is we want to have our officers thinking and looking for things that might be common items but yet could be a component in an improvised explosive device.
So does that mean cheese will be removed from the Made in Oregon stores?
So it's anything that has the same consistency as an explosive. So basically it's anything that has the same consistency as cheese.
Cheese, yeah.
It's good that they've narrowed that
down. Move my cheese. Ellen Howe says lighters are now allowed back on planes, unless, of course, people try to light the cheese on fire.
The lighters are a perfect example of a change that we've made to keep our workforce focused on improvised explosive devices. It's not about looking for prohibited items that can't be used in an improvised explosive device. We want to look for things that could be used.
There are no improvised explosive devices.
None. Not one. They've never found one. Ever.
They had the shoe bomb guy. That was it. They had the shoe. The goddamn bomb didn't even work. Remember that? He was trying to light it. It wouldn't even light. The guy couldn't even make a fuse correctly. There are no explosive devices being smuggled onto airplanes. It's not happening. It's never happened.
Jesus.
All right. I mean, really, unless we were talking about the phrase Pan Am immediately followed by the phrase 103, it's just not happening. Just a bunch of made-up crap is what it is. Hi, Chris. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
Hey, two things. First of all, you guys are missing the obvious softball for your live reads. Hey, Rick, if you didn't want to stand in line to go to some generic box store, where could I get some quality, unique furniture?
Hey, I like the way you think, sir. I'm going to make a note of that. I'll do that next time.
And then the other thing is on the Belloc Belloc thing, I think Belloc would be telling the people that he's Belloc because he's French, and that'd be closer to the proper pronunciation. And Indy's making fun of him, calling him Belloc, which would make the snippy Frenchman unhappy.
But if his name is spelled... But the French don't pronounce the Q-C-H, though, do they?
I don't know. It's been too many years since I've taken French, but it may have been just thrown on the script from that, you know, that way so that, you know, they could read it whatever.
All right. Now it's going to bug me. Now I got to find some linguist or something to come out and clarify the entire thing for me. All right. Thank you. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Republican leaders of the House and Senate are attacking proposals that call for a major expansion for children's health insurance to be financed by higher tobacco taxes.
That's socialism, Tim.
Republicans will fight these proposals, says Representative John Boehner. Listen to the sentence now. They're going to be dragging people out of private health insurance and putting them into a government program. It's Hillary Care. I'm sure people are going to be kicking and screaming out of private health care. That's what it says.
Can't make me.
They want universal coverage. We will not do this. America's health insurance plans.
Who fights health care for children?
So listen to this. Here comes the best part. Now, unless you want to be dragged kicking and screaming out of your privately funded health care.
Into the red menace.
America's health insurance plans, a trade group, announced a national television advertising campaign. These spots will urge you to call your members of Congress and speak out against payments to private insurers.
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody do that.
Speak out against these these plans to take away your freedom of private health insurance.
Call up right now and protest this idea that we should give health care to children. It's communism, and I won't have it. Not in Rick Emerson's America. Jesus, God Almighty. Well, I mean, I've been just complaining about the fact that, I mean, with private insurance, what you're going to, you know, I'm still paying for. With private insurance, do you realize this? Do you realize, I think it's Canada, and the other example they gave was like, I mean, like France or Sweden or someplace, that 75% of people in Canada where they have national or whatever you want to call it, universal health coverage, 75% of people see a doctor that day or the next day, within 48 hours. You know what? I have private insurance that I have to goddamn pay for, and it took them 11 weeks to send me to the freaking doctor. 11 weeks!
Well, the Republicans claim that public coverage would in some cases replace private insurance.
All right. I don't.
What good is it to elect these people?
None.
And what do they do?
I don't know. See, also, Potter, comma, Tom. Mm. God damn. Do you have that Tom Potter story? Did you already throw it away?
Well, I still have it here, but it's stupid.
Are you? No argument from me. I am sold on that, my friend. That train has left in my head. So we're spending, I just wanted to, because somebody asked me, somebody sent me an email about this, and they wanted me to clarify. They said, Rick, did I really hear that we are spending $200,000 to have a camp where illegal immigrants can hang out while they're waiting to work? Is that true?
That is true, yes.
And then, who is it
that... He wants to put them in one spot.
Are you... Now, was it you that made the brothel comment, or did somebody in the story make that comment?
Somebody in the story.
What did they say? What was the context?
Let's see here.
Was it somebody opposing this and saying, why don't we just build brothels?
Mayor Potter is aiding and abetting illegal activity. How is using taxpayer dollars for a central hiring site different from a city opening a brothel? Both are illegal. That's a stretch, isn't it? Said Mayor Potter. No, it isn't.
No, it absolutely isn't. There's nothing stretchy about it. It's completely stretchless, is
what
it is.
He's a kook, right?
He really is. He is a nutcase. And as I think I made the observation when you first read this, and I will make it again right now, that you know, that of course is going to lose $200,000, however, one time or annually for the city, as opposed to a brothel, which is operated at. There's nothing more successful than a brothel. I mean, especially now they're getting rid of cigarettes. A brothel, that's a growth industry. That's never going to. You know, can I just tell you this? Speaking of, I hate to make this comparison. Speaking of brothels, which is to say, speaking of the adult industry. There's somebody we used to work with, and I won't identify who it is, especially because nobody in the audience would know it. It's just somebody we knew in Intercom that I knew. And I ran into, Sarah and I went to this Willamette Week party last night, which is really just an excuse for Byron Beck to come and touch my buttocks. But, you know, whatever. Yeah. That's okay.
Oh, you went looking for it. I saw you. Where's Byron? I just want to say hi.
I was asking for it.
You totally were.
Rick, I can't feel any sympathy for you. You were asking for it. I was showing my ankles. I have only myself to blame. So I was at the Willamette party, and I ran into this woman that we used to work with at Intercom, and she'd been working for Kissin, actually. So clearly there was just that had all kind of gone away. But I said, hey, are you still working at Intercom? She said, no, and, you know, they got rid of Kissin. And I said, well, are you still on radio? And she said, no. And of course, it is very telling and sad that when I meet somebody who was in radio and who's gotten out, my first words are always like, well done. Congratulations. You managed to find another career. Because I'm not complaining. I work in radio voluntarily by choice, but I do sort of envy those who have managed to make a clean break and apparently have no desire to come back. Because I can't tell you, I mean, we've talked about this, that every time one of us gets fired, every time we go off the air, I always swear that I'm never coming. That's it. I'm done. I'm moving on to something else. But it's not true. You know, just like Michael Corleone, you know, I was out and they pulled me back in. I always come back like an idiot, like a moron, like a crackhead. She, though, is gone for good. You can tell that she has no desire to come back to radio. And I always just kind of envy people like that. It's like meeting a junkie who has no more cravings. They just flushed the urge right out of their system. And so I said, well, where are you working now? And she's working at what we colloquially refer to as an adult store. She's working at an adult bookstore. We used to call I don't even know if they call them bookstores anymore. There are really no books at adult bookstores. It's not an adult, there's no not a bookstore of any kind. It's a store where it's a thing. Well, she's working at Fantasy. So she's working at Fantasy for adults only. And you know what? I was so...
Is there a Fantasy for kids only?
That's it, that's at Michael Jackson's house.
Oh, I see.
That's a lame joke, but I have nothing.
I expected more, but
I know. But I know what you're going to say.
I'll bring this back during the 2 o'clock hour when nobody remembers me doing it.
I have no one. Like you said, is there a Fantasy for kids only? And I went in my head. I'm like, where would that be? What would my joke for that be? And then I said Michael Jackson, which is dated and not really all that great, but it's like.
It'll do in a pinch.
Well, there's nothing to replace it with. You know what I mean? Like, there's no one.
Farm Club of Michael Jackson.
I could say R. Kelly.
Big though.
That's what I'm saying. It's like there's really no there's no one else to make that joke with. There's no one priest who is well known enough to insert into that. You can't say that's at Cardinal Mahoney's house. I mean, that's accurate, but it's not all that funny.
No.
So you still got the humor is still Michael Jackson. He has to do for now. There's really no. He really is the. He's still the gold standard of alleged pedophilia right now. Anyway, so So she left radio and she's working at Fantasy. And when she handed me her card. And when she did explain this to me, I was just overwhelmed with envy in a weird way.
What is
because
your title?
She is a store manager.
Oh, that's big.
But you know what? I told her this yesterday. You know, that's an industry that's never going to go away.
No.
That's an industry that will, I mean, that place will be in business. All of these places will be in business forever. That's an industry that is recession-proof. I mean, it's
like a supermarket.
Yeah, there's just nothing. Yeah, people got to eat. People got to hump. So there's just there's no getting around it. So I told her, I said, I said, someday I'll come ask you for a job. Just remember that I was nice to you. Remember, you let Rick Emerson wet his beak someday because Rick Emerson was nice to you and someday he will need employment. All right, we got a break. It's 503-733-2970. We'll come back. More of Tim Riley around the corner. Later on, Mr. Skin, Jim Roof, more of your phone calls and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
And this is the mayor who's supposed to be upholding the law of this fine community.
You know, I think Tom Potter might be a fellow traveler, Tim. I can't prove that that's the case.
A graduate of the Little Red Schoolhouse.
For the win. All right, 503-733-2970.
He probably has a statue of Comrade Stalin in the
permanent revolution. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Yeah, he believes the central hiring site is a good idea.
Of course.
That would shield laborers from cold and rain and keep them from urinating in public.
So we're building a $200,000 hangout spot for people.
But here's the worst part. This will help them from getting ripped off by employers.
Of course. Of course. Because that's really...
I mean, like, they're making these tremendous salaries.
Because the Del Monte plant was paying those guys like 85 grand a year. Because they were getting a wonderful living wage as it was. That's fantastic. Well, I'm glad that he's... I mean, look, I don't mean to sound heartless, but I'm glad he's all concerned about them to the extent that he's going to spend $200,000 to keep them from getting ripped off. Like, I'm not getting ripped off by him reaching into my pocket and taking money to build a hangout spot for illegal immigrants. Jesus God Almighty.
Well,
it's okay. It's all right.
The straitjacket's coming there.
I'm just going to say, just chalk it up. Just one more person on the list. All right, that's fine.
Now, here's this other wacky story. This happened late yesterday afternoon. We told part of this story. 33-year-old Blaine Danley remains in jail on burglary and child neglect charges. Now, he's had custody of his boys.
Oh, is this a douche that abandoned his kids?
Yeah. So they find him in a parked car. This happened in Salem. And he was sleeping in the back of an SUV that was parked in the garage of a home. And there was grease spread all over the garage. And the suspect was covered with grease as well, and he was naked from the waist down.
Naked from the waist down and covered in grease.
Uh-huh.
Mmm, sexy.
And he has a criminal record.
Of course.
It's sad and disappointing, say many, so the judge is going to decide what to do with the kids, but they can't find the mom. And this guy and the mom met at Narcotics Anonymous.
Well, no,
so what's the best thing to do? Let's have not one, but two children.
I think that they must spike.
That'll cure all our problems.
The baby brought us closer together, because that's always what saves a failing, tumultuous relationship.
But one baby will be lonely.
No. And I don't want to have an odd assortment of children, so let's have a baker's dozen.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't just in Narcotics Anonymous because he smoked weed a little too often. He was on heroin, of course, as they all are.
Yeah.
But of course he was off of it. He'd kicked that junk. Here's the thing: no one does heroin and then just. Never mind.
No,
it's pointless. I mean, it's just, and I won't say no one. That's an unfair statement. I will not say no one because we know people who have done what you would call the hard drugs, as they used to call it in school, and who have gotten clean. But we all know that those people are the exception to the rule as well. We all know that the heroin gets Jesus Christ. And let's just be honest. If you are at a gathering, a party, a house, you're hanging out with somebody, and the guy says, "Hey, I've got this bag of heroin. Do you want to do some?" If you are the type of person who says yes to the question, it's like a choose-your-own-adventure novel, right? Where they go, to do the heroin, turn to page 75. To say no to the heroin and have, a useful, productive life, turn to page 42. If you're the person who turns to page 75 because you want to do heroin, there's something wrong with you. There, you are defective as a human being.
And nothing straightens out troubled lives than having children.
Of course. Of course, because we all know that having kids doesn't induce additional stress into your existence. We all know that that's not going to make your day-to-day existence more difficult. We all know that it's not like kids take $200,000 to raise or anything.
It'll be fine if you worship in the church of your choice. Seriously. The Lord will provide.
And so they can't find the mom.
No.
The kids,
they know who she is.
So the kids were where?
In a car. On Mink Court.
The guy ought to be taken out back and horsewhipped. I swear to God. He just ought to be taken out back and he ought to just be beaten senseless with something heavy and
blunt.
They
can't hang on to him. It's full of grease.
And he's naked from the waist down. Why would you can be one of those things? You can be covered in grease or you can have your genitals uncovered. You can't be both.
Well, it does make for a better story.
You take him, put him in some sort of a small room and just look at him through a window for the next 10 years. Jesus. So where are the children now? Let me guess. Are they being raised by the state at this point?
Well, yeah, they're really taking them by the state.
Well, that's wonderful, because they're going to end up a lot better off that way. You know, he was raised by Charles Manson, was raised by the state. That ended well.
Mm-hmm. So that's that. Let's talk about Lindsay Lohan, America's favorite pastime.
Maybe that guy can go live with Tom Potter. Tom Potter seems to like criminals.
Oh, that's true, too.
I'm sorry. Don't mean to be calling back.
Well, let's talk about Lindsay Lohan.
Can't we, please?
I think we're at that point.
Can I? Well, no. I mean, it's a natural segue. Mm-hmm. It really is. All she needs is 8 or 9 kids and be living in an Airstream somewhere. Can I just say preemptively about Lindsay Lohan, and a few people have made this observation today,
yes.
The best part of Lindsay Lohan, and I don't think we're telling anybody things they don't already know, the best part about Lindsay Lohan's claim that she's being framed or set up or that she's innocent is the idea that you would give your cocaine to Lindsay Lohan to hold for you. The idea that if you had cocaine that you didn't want used, you'd give it to Lindsay Lohan just to, you know, to keep safe. Lindsay, can you put this cocaine in your... Don't do it or anything. Just put it in your pocket for a while. She's exactly the goat. That's like giving Clyde one of your cheeseburgers to guard for a while. That's clearly an ill-advised path that no one would take.
Anything with cheese could be used as a bomb by terrorists.
That's right. I also love, and just since we are now calling back, I love the idea that at the airport that you can't take cheese on because it might be used for a bomb, and yet you can take ballpoint pens and a cigarette lighter on, even though they're made out of plastic. And as somebody noted, the first word of plastic explosive is plastic!
Yeah.
It just makes... More than anything, don't you just pray? Don't you just wish with every fiber in your being that stupidity was painful? Don't you wish that stupidity actually caused physical pain to the person experiencing it?
And then, to top it off, the federal government wants to drag people out of private health insurance and put them into a government program. Hillary Care.
It's a godless society.
So you must call your congressman today and let them know that this will not stand.
This instant. Do it now.
Make the phones ring off the hook.
Jesus.
Tell them Tom Potter sent you.
We should just go, you know what, we should just have the illegal immigrants go live in Tom Potter's, where does he live? Is there, there's not a, like a house that the city gives the mayor.
The house of Potter?
Potter house. I'm not going to make the stupid.
Like the mayor's mansion?
I'm not going to make a stupid like Tom Potter in the village of illegals or something. The Tom Potter and the goblet of illegality. But I mean... When you go to the mayor, this isn't like in New York where you live at Gracie Mansion. Does he live in just his own...
He doesn't live in Gracie Mansion.
...place, or does the city give you a place to live in?
That's
the mayor?
That's a good question. I don't know where the mayor lives.
Where does the mayor live? Someone call and tell us. You know, we ought to just have them gather on here. They're waiting for the work truck to come by and pick them up every morning. They can just wait on Tom Potter's front lawn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he really wants a place where they can maybe... In fact, why limit it to the front lawn? If Tom Potter's really concerned about people who... By the way, and... If you can spare me the email about how I'm a, like some John Birch Society member or whatever, it just doesn't make any sense. It just boggles the mind that the mayor of the city would be spending my and your money to do this. So, I mean, if he's really concerned about them getting out of the wind and rain and having a place to hang out, why limit it to being underneath a tent somewhere? In fact, why limit it to his lawn? Why don't we just have them wait inside his living room and they can have crumpets while they're waiting for the truck to come by every morning? Somebody call us and tell us where Tom Potter lives. Because I don't know if the city gives you a place to live when you're elected mayor, or if it's just like some free, if he just lives in his own place. In his own neighborhood, which I'm sure is tremendously diverse.
But I'm sure day laborers gather there daily.
Yeah. All right. Oh, wait, we've already got Lindsay Lohan calls. Hello, sir.
Hey.
Hi.
So every time Lindsay Lohan goes to rehab?
Yes.
An angel gets its wings.
I don't know if that's funny or not. Am I missing some other layer to the joke?
No.
All right.
I thought it was funny last night.
No, that was funny last night.
Were you drunk, sir?
I was just going to say, when I was on the chair at Angelo's, it seemed hilarious. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you, sir.
All right. No, no, thank you. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
You need to relax and have a cigarette with Scotty.
Oh, by the way, yeah, I need to have...
Fresh, the finest leaf tobacco, mild, refreshing menthol, and the world's most thoroughly tested filter. That's Snow Fresh Filter Cool. Why don't you switch from hot to the Snow Fresh coolness of cool? As cool and as clean as a breath of fresh air. America's most refreshing cigarette.
Their cigarettes are dangerous. Ours are toasted. Rick, on the news this morning, they stated that the wife of the guy who left the kids in the car has three other children, all of whom are, wait for it, already wards of the state.
Well, she was just practicing back then.
That's just wonderful. That's fantastic. All right. Let's see.
They're not law-abiding IKEA-waiting citizens, that's for sure.
Because those people don't have a litter of kids at home. Rick, the word of the day is Bohica. Oh, that's fantastic. An acronym. Bohica. Bend over. Here it comes again. Yeah, thank you. What else do we have? I'm reading the emails here. Let's see. Rick, does Tom Potter really believe that any sane day laborer would come and hang out in an area specifically built by the city for them? Typically, the laborers here are not legally here or are unlicensed, really? And so it seems INS, the police, and union workers would be lined up outside any venue built for this purpose. It sort of seems like building a public park for pedophiles, Rick. That's the emailer making that comparison, not me. He says the rationale being they can have a place to hang out and be kept away from the public. No one will show up. They should just use the $200,000 to put honey buckets out on Burnside. Really, if this problem is predicated on them just the peeing in the streets. Well, whatever. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's talk about Lindsay Lohan, shall we? Well, they were talking about poor things last week. There was a report out that her project was killed. It turned out it is not. But they are having a problem insuring it. And they're marketing I Know Who Killed Me as much as possible. But they're not mentioning her name very much as being in it.
Is that true? Are they doing like they did with Jennifer Lopez and Jersey Girl, just totally downplaying it?
Mm-hmm. So I guess Poor Things has been put on hold for now. In other news, the 21-year-old star has checked back into rehab after arrest yesterday morning for driving under the influence with a suspended license. That, according to celebrity blogger Perez Hilton.
What I'm assuming happened from my conversation with her is that she went into rehab early this morning because she told me that my last email from her was going to be shortly before midnight, and then she had to turn in her sidekick, her cell phone.
And so, wait, that was yesterday morning?
Yeah.
So she went into rehab last night, this morning at midnight, allegedly.
Perez Hilton says Lohan's mother, Dina, looks out for herself and not for Lindsay.
Dina Lohan comes up to me and she tells me, don't write trash about me. I'm friends with Tommy Mottola, big music mogul. I'm like, what, he's going to put out a hit on me? But I just found that really telling that Dina Lohan would tell me, don't write trash about me, instead of saying, don't write trash about my daughter.
Well, and somebody who made this observation this morning, it was Dennis Miller who said that anytime a mom uses the phrase, I party with my daughter, really, and anytime an adult uses the phrase, I party, like really, once you get to be 40 years of age, if you're saying that you're out partying somewhere, I think it's time for you to really reconsider the way that you're living your life. But daughter,
unless you're a Scotty.
That really is true. Scotty J is the Dina Lohan of the Rick Emerson Show. We should check on Scotty's children right now. Make sure they're not. Come to think of it, has anybody ever seen any of Scotty's children?
I have.
Oh, I saw one of his daughters. That's right. I saw one of his daughters at PDX Teen Idol.
Them.
He has a daughter and a son.
I thought he had three.
No, he has two.
Is sure the one? The state hasn't taken one of them. one of them's not living in the back of a car with a greased up man. Scotty says two that I know of. Okay, thanks.
Oh, God.
Thank you, 70s.
Well, he's been out in the town quite a bit lately.
70s, man. It really is true. Scotty is sort of like a living scared straight film for his kids, though, don't you think? Scotty's like, it's like living with an after-school special at that house. Scotty J., Portrait of a Teenage Alcoholic. But yeah, I mean, any time that a mom is partying with her daughter, that's it, man. That is like sign number one. That the kid is just going to grow up to be a waste of skin. That's it. It's like you would always hear these, you know, you always hear these kind of stories from sort of 80s rock guys, especially. They would like be these groupies. And you'll hear some guy from Motley Crue or Poison or whatever talk about how backstage would be some mom and her daughter who come and they'll like tag team, you know, Tommy Lee in a changing room somewhere. And I mean, anytime that's the family dynamic where the moms and daughters should not have the same social activities. It's not that there's anything wrong with it as such, but it is definitely a sign. That is a red flag that there's something really wrong in the head of one of them, usually the mom. And I mean, as much as I say that I don't really have a whole lot of sympathy for Lindsay Lohan, the mother's clearly just a horrible person. I mean, just an absolute, I mean, now do we know, is Dina Lohan herself like a failed actress? Is she a failed something? She's got to be. There's no way that Dina Lohan.
That's usually the way it works.
I mean,
living life vicariously.
I mean, I would swear to that right now, not even knowing. I would swear that Dina Lohan is probably a failed actress. She's probably a failed singer. She's probably a failed, because that's why she's still trying to glom on to getting some program on VH1 and still living life through her daughter. And you know that this is just step number one. You know that she's probably already grooming the other kids for some sort of weird celebrity. And you know, you absolutely know that. If Lindsay just proves to be unsavable, that they will market the other kids as they will totally try to get sympathy points off Lindsay. They'll pull a River Phoenix where they try to get sympathy points off the death of Lindsay Lohan for the other kids. So, all right. Well, let's see. What do we got here? Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, anyhow, I don't know exactly where Tom Potter lives, but I saw him driving his $100,000 Mercedes through the Alameda neighborhood one time when I was riding my bike through there to go get my $15 gelato with my girlfriend. So.
Sorry, I'm sorry. In what neighborhood, sir?
In Alameda neighborhood. Out in the northeast.
Right, okay. And that's by that, I know exactly the gelato place you're talking about, by the way. I say something wider than ever.
It's a ridiculous place. I couldn't even believe it when I went in there. My jaw hit the floor.
Yeah, my wife dragged me there a couple of months ago.
Oh. Yeah, it's right out there where the air is just a little bit sweeter and the women are just a little bit finer. So, you know, that's where you'll find the mayor for Portland. But.
Of course. Well, it's all part of... All right, thank you, sir. We're losing your phone there. So the question is, does the city get the mayor his own place to live like they do with the mayor of New York? Or does the mayor just continue to live in his own home? So we'll see. Here's Tim Riley.
I would say he lives in his own home because I remember they used to have stories about where Vera lived. In Northwest.
Yeah, that's true. She was kind of cut from a different... she was cut from her own cloth, though. Mm-hmm. Boy, you know, and it's not like I follow city politics all that much. Mm-hmm. But she just really seemed, especially with this guy, she just seems like so much of a straight shooter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she seemed like she'd probably kick you in the groin if you got in her way. Mm-hmm. Like, if you really gave her too much crap, like, she'd probably brain you and then just knee you right in the store there.
Well, they did get put up a statue of her, the one that looks like Barry Manilow, I think, in the North Park blocks.
It's because she herself looks a whole lot like Barry Pincus. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So let's get back to Lindsay Lohan, shall we? Because we just can't get enough. Her dad, Michael, said he tried to call her yesterday morning.
I'd given her some time to get herself grounded when she got out of the rehab, and I just felt I needed to speak to her the day before yesterday, and I tried calling four times, between 6 o'clock at night and 12 o'clock that night. The next thing I knew, this happened.
He does take some of the blame regarding her behavior.
Well, I'd be a liar if I said no. I mean, of course I have to. I'm her father. You can see the lines of parallels between how I acted out when I was taken from my family and people came between us, and the same thing's happening in Lindsay's life.
Yes, it's all about you.
And wait a minute. Do we hate him or not?
Yeah, we might as well.
Yes, he's nuts.
What's his deal?
He's the one who went to jail. They've been in a huge custody battle. He babbles about Jesus all the time.
Oh, all right. Well, that's it.
Pretty soon he's going to be found naked from the waist down, covered with grease.
I was going to say he's got two of the three hat trick elements going right there: jail and Jesus. Wait, was he in jail for drugs? He had
no
to.
for fraud.
That's bad enough.
For mail fraud or something?
I can't remember.
All right. Somebody says that
Tom matters.
Somebody says that Tom Potter lives near me. That can't possibly be true. Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. Hey. The mayor lives right by you on 42nd, just off of Holgate. You'll find him Sundays picking up trash along 42nd.
Really? out wandering in the sun, picking up wrappers on 47.
You can tell which house this is. He has the hybrid vehicle.
Yeah, somebody says here he drives. I don't know if I should go saying
and
what
the
he
license
drives.
Plate is.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not telling people to go there.
He doesn't hide the fact that he lives there.
Yeah, somebody says he lives in the Woodstock area.
Right.
It says Potter lives in the Woodstock neighborhood of Southeast with his third wife.
Yeah.
So there you go. And he drives a Prius, apparently.
His house is as neat as his hair.
All right. Thank you.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
Our engineer Jeremy just wrote me and said that Dina Lohan was a Radio City Rockette.
Really?
Uh-huh. That explains a lot.
Seriously. Sorry, baby, you're starting to sag. Bob here will show you out. All right, so they did it say, by the way, I hate to keep touching back on this. Did Tom Potter say where he wants to build or where they're going to build this $200,000 lean-to?
I'll find it later.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Michael Lohan contends that people around Lindsay are not helping her situation.
We can't bring negative people or allow them to be in Lindsay's life or bring her in situations that any child belongs in. I mean, the people around Lindsay had a major effect on her. And unfortunately, at the pinnacle of her career, some really self-serving people came out of the woodwork.
Really?
They did in show business.
Yeah, I was going to say, boy, that's hard to believe that some self-serving people, Michael Lohan, who seems to find every opportunity to put his face in front of a goddamn camera or a microphone. Mm-hmm. It's also it's one wonderful that he was around to help her. He was in prison. Jesus God, is it 1 o'clock?
Yes.
When did that happen?
About a minute ago. It was 12:59 before that.
I was armed for that one. All right. Well, who wants to do more news when we return?
Oh, me.
Me.
Okay. We'll continue after this. It's 503-733-2970. Jim Roop will join us here in just a moment. We'll talk a little bit about Lindsay Lohan and then, some marijuana story as well. And pandering shamelessly to our target demographic, we will address that issue as well. We got that. Oh, and then I know that I'm really out of the loop on it, but... You know, we haven't talked at all about these two Portland kids that they were trying to tag as sex offenders because they were smacking or groping girls.
Oh, that was McMinnville. Remember that story?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that we were just completely out of the loop on, or I was out of the loop.
No, we did it a long time ago.
Did we?
It's an old story, yeah.
Anyway, so we'll talk a little bit about that. There's some other groping case in this story in the metro section of the Oregonians. We'll talk about that when we get back. Later on, more things and happenings. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. By the way, I think we have the definitive answer on the Belloc Belosh question. Who wants to hear it?
We already had it. You were wrong.
No, I'm not, Sarah. You only thought I was wrong. You only thought I was mistaken.
Did you fool us all?
Yes. I thought I was wrong, too. But we've got this. This says, Rick, by way of background, says this person, Mary... She says, now listen to me now, Aaron, Geek in the City, and everyone. I have a degree in international relations and speak French, German, and Arabic. She says, Q in Arabic is pronounced as a K way back in the throat, like you're trying to stop yourself from swallowing the fly. Sometimes in French, particularly with some of their southern accents, and in a region that is close to the Italian border, C can be pronounced as a CH sound. So, she says... It makes sense that Salah would mispronounce the plain old C as C-H or S-H if Belloc was from the southern France region, since I'm sure he would have learned French fairly early, because French is spoken in Morocco, Libya, Algeria, and Tunis, all nations along the Mediterranean who were at one point or another colonies of France. The Q, Mary says, by way of summation, is completely wrong. Even in French, Q is pronounced with a K sound. Rick, they are wrong, and you are right. Signed, best show ever, Mary. We're now going to have a moment of silence to commend how right I am. And we're done. All right, there you go. From Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent of the stars and living golden deity, James Roop. Hello, sir.
Hey, were you guys talking about Indiana Jones?
We were indeed, my friend.
There you go.
Hey, I don't know if you're... Are you an Indiana Jones fan?
To a degree.
All right, you got to check out IndianaJones.com. They're putting up some very cool footage there. There was this video they put up about 2 weeks ago, and it was just... And Spielberg, and you know in your heart that Spielberg... And I say this with all due respect, and I say this as a compliment. Spielberg is a master of the manipulation of emotion. And I don't say that as a knock. I mean, that's what directors do. Mm-hmm. They create compelling stories, and they create sort of a, they enrapture you with a sort of, a vibe or a story arc or some sort of an emotional narrative or a flow. And they know imagery, and they know how to put things together and the collage of imagery to sort of make you feel a certain way. And so at IndianaJones.com, they've been putting up these daily journals and these diaries of the filming of Indiana 4. And there is this video they posted about 9 days ago. And it's just this fade-in, fade-out of various images and shots. And they just do like a quick shot of the Indiana Jones leather jacket. They do a shot of a hand reaching over onto a prop shelf and picking up the Stetson, the hat. Then they do a shot of a hand, presumably Harrison Ford's, coming into frame and picking up the whip, which is hanging on a hook, and taking it out of frame. And I mean, and you, they haven't shown us yet Indiana Jones in his full regalia, in the full glory, but there's been a shot of him in his sort of those chinos he wears and the hat, leaning back in a chair, and he's got a little bit of blood on the pant leg of one, you know, on his right pant leg, as though he was just in a scuffle with a Nazi of some kind. Mm. And I can feel myself just becoming giddy even talking about it right now. All of this by way of saying that, I mean, Spielberg knows very well that there is an entire generation and a huge segment of the world that is waiting for the next Indiana Jones film, and that you can already feel the tension, the excitement, the giddiness, even among casual Indiana Jones fans, just ramping up in the air. It's all very exciting.
Well, I'll check it out.
Well done. Excellent. All right, but on to bigger, more important matters. Hey, so let me ask you this. Lindsay Lohan, now,
weren't her drugs.
Oh, yeah, of course. And as I said early on, because, of course, you would give her your cocaine to hold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm not going to carry it.
You might as well let the Hoover carry it around for you. I mean, seriously.
I don't like cocaine. I just like the way it smells.
Exactly. So, my wife asked this question last night. She said, how is it that she can be charged with carrying the cocaine into a police station if it was against her will that she went to the police station in the first place? And if she'd thrown it away, would she be charged with...
She had to go. She had to go to the police station because she failed a field sobriety test.
So, but I mean, in other words, don't get me wrong, I'm not like a big defender of Lindsay Lohan, but is it fair to say that, I mean, it does seem a little weird that they would charge her with something that she kind of had no choice
in. What seems weird is that they didn't frisk her at the scene.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Into the police station.
That was my question. Is she being charged because she didn't volunteer that she had the drugs on her?
I don't know that.
I guess it's kind of a legal point, so I don't really know. But what else? So she's been charged with two felonies at this point.
Right, possession and transportation into a jail facility.
And so... And somebody asked me a question about the California three strikes thing, but is that simply violent felonies or is that felonies period?
Well, they're trying to change that. It was felonies period, and they're trying to change that because, I mean, a felony theft can land you in prison forever.
Because you hear these stories about guys who have two strikes and then they steal a candy bar or something or, you know, whatever, they break parole. So if she gets tagged with both of these and gets convicted of both
six
of these...
Years.
It's 6 years now. Is that a minimum?
That's the most she can receive if convicted on all charges.
If she's convicted on all
charges. From what I understand.
But you believe, and I think probably most people believe, that there's no way they'll give her any less than that, or at least they won't give her a walk, certainly. I mean, that she'll do
time. I think she'll get anywhere from 30 days to the maximum. I have no idea. I don't know if the DA is actually going to bring charges and what charges he's actually going to bring. Just because she was booked in suspicion of these charges.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily mean those are the charges with which they'll go to court.
Is she back in rehab now?
She's receiving medical treatment. That's all we know. I don't think she's back in a rehab facility. I think she's just receiving medical attention, which means they could be weaning her off drugs at home for all that matter.
What is the what's the deal with, to whatever extent you might know this, what is the deal with the promises place? Because we've heard some people say that it's not a real rehab place, that it's sort of a fake.
It's more into amenities than it is program.
Is that where Brittany went, where they
yeah.
had, yeah, and it was like $300,000 or some crap?
Yeah, I mean, that was Jay Leno's thing last night. What are they promising? That they'll keep a bed ready for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know? That's, it doesn't really seem like there's a whole lot of actual treatment going on at a place like
no,
that.
No, I mean, it really is more of a resort, you know, because they allow them to make phone calls and all this other stuff.
Right.
And it, you know, most treatment facilities for 30 days, man, you're locked up. You know, I mean, you're on the compound and that's it. No visitors, no phone calls, no nothing.
Somebody says here, it says, Rick, when somebody is taken into custody, it is their responsibility legally to turn over any contraband to the arresting officer prior to entering the correctional facility or police department. They must volunteer if they are carrying illegal or contraband substances.
Well, since it wasn't hers, it's easy for her to
of
forget
course.
She had it.
Of course. The best thing, I mean, and by best, it really is just... I don't even know that sad is the right word. It is just sort of pathetic. And, you know, and this is clearly not confined to Lindsay Lohan. This is, I mean, there is like a junkie playbook, right? And they all go through it. And there are certain behaviors that every junkie does. There's the stealing from your family and then denying it. There's the, you know, there's the intervention that your family does and the your fake contrition where you cry and promise to be a better person, which then never happens. There's the... you know, there's the your family having to come and bail you out and you, like, walking out in shame and pledging that that's the day you're going to turn your life around. And then, of course, there's the drugs aren't mine. You know, I don't know where they came from. I was holding them for somebody else. I was blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you, there is nobody who lies with more energy than a junkie. There is nobody who throws... I mean, Laurence Olivier doesn't do performances like your average dope head does when they're trying to convince other people and usually trying to convince themselves to some degree that they're really not just like the strung out idiot that they are. So, you know, she's probably in the same boat as O.J. Simpson at this point. She probably is just mouthing it so fervently that she might even believe that she doesn't have a problem at this
point.
Well,
you're probably right. She obviously has no filter system in any supporters. I mean, her parents don't try and filter stuff to her. Tell her, hey, that's not acceptable behavior. I mean, the problem is with child actors anyway, is that, or anybody who comes up early, they are told from a very early age that they can do no wrong.
Right.
They're given everything they want to appease them, to whatever. And so when they get older and they have to become more responsible because there are laws by which we must abide, they think they're above the law. Wait a minute, I was never told I had to live by rules.
Well,
so I'm not going to live by rules now.
And I will say this, too. I saw an interview with Daniel Radcliffe, who plays Harry Potter in all those movies, and he actually made this is an off-the-cuff statement, but one that is really true and that I've heard echoed by a couple other people in my life. He said, because he's 18, and they were talking about, you know, what's your life like as an adult, and do you have a girlfriend, and whatever. And he actually made this statement. He said that the one person he will never date, he said, I will never date actresses. He said, I don't date actresses. I won't date an actress. I will never date an actress. Because he said they're all just batty. They're all just nutty. And I actually have a friend of mine who lived in L.A. for a while and dated a couple actresses, and he said that the biggest problem with actresses, and I'm sure this is true of actors too, but he said the biggest problem with actresses is they just never turn it off. They just never quit acting. You never get the real person. They never, you're always just talking to this cardboard cutout of them or to some sort of played-up, exaggerated facet of their persona. You never get the real person. And I can't even imagine how much that's true if you're talking to an actress who is also desperately just tap-dancing to cover the fact that she's strung out on cocaine and whatever else all the time. So,
yeah.
You know, and as somebody else said, you know, when you are a functional junkie like that, I mean, the career is like the last thing to go. I mean, and when the career finally goes, that's when you hit rock bottom, because first you lose your family, and then you lose your friends, and then you lose your health. But a lot of the times they're still functional through all this. Robert Downey Jr. kept making movies all the way until he was woken, until they found him sleeping on that little girl's bed that time. So, I mean, you know, anyway. So,
well, you know, what I think is going to happen here is that Lindsay Lohan won't be hired by anybody for about 2 years.
Well, the insurance bond on her has just got to be unbelievable.
That's the thing, too, and I think people don't realize that no insurance company wants to take that risk. So you're not going to be able to hire her because no one's going to insure her.
Because when you make a movie, there's a completion bond
right.
that typically has to be put up that guarantees essentially that the movie will be finished and that there's a forfeiture if the movie is not finished. And I know that's what was doing in Marilyn Monroe at the end, and nobody would insure a Marilyn Monroe film at the end because they didn't think that they all figured she'd be dead.
Right.
So yeah. All right. Well,
apparently this film that is supposed to start filming soon, that she's still attached to it and she's still insured.
Yeah. Well,
but I don't know.
I don't know what it seems like it's going to be, and that movie that she's got a movie coming out this weekend. Which
I know
clearly,
Who Killed Me, and she's supposed to be on PR tour right now.
Yeah, that's clearly not going to be happening.
Oh, the movie company must be just livid. They're going to sue her for everything she's got.
Oh, now is this movie that's opening this weekend? That's not the one where the guy wrote her the angry letter. That was Georgia Rule, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is like two in a row that she's blown.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she had all kinds of negative PR in that movie, and now she's, you know, and now she's doing this. And you're right, they will absolutely sue her for her inability, because I'm sure contractually she was required to do what is called reasonable promotion at studio's request.
Yeah.
And she's clearly not doing
that. She's got to do the junkets, you know, to sell that film, and she's not doing it. So I'm sure that's a violation of her contract, and which means they either don't have to pay her, or whatever they have paid her, they can sue to get it back, plus damages.
Oh, it's good times for everybody.
It's fun, man.
Yeah, it really is.
21 years old and your life is over. How crappy is that?
I'm going to skip the junket junkie joke, too, because that's beneath me as an entertainer. All right, my friend. I was going to talk about this marijuana thing, but I don't know.
I just got to say, you know, we were talking about Rob Schneider yesterday, but he had a great line on Jay Leno last night. Did you hear that?
No.
Did you hear? He came out dressed like Lindsay Lohan. He was Lindsay Lohan for Jay Leno.
Right.
And it was pretty funny because Jay Leno asked about, you know, her favorite movie. She said, well, he said, I liked Herbie Fully Loaded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Herbie was the car, I was Fully Loaded. I thought that was a great line.
Oh, see, I heard that on the radio this morning, but it didn't really play, and I guess that's because I didn't know he was dressed as Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah,
I guess that's
right.
Okay, that's what makes it funny.
He had an ankle bracelet on that he took off to show Jay Leno. It was a flask.
Right.
I mean, it was obviously written by Leno and his staff, and Schneider was just the vehicle. But it was very well done.
See, and I mean, I will tell you right now, that is the worst thing for her right now, is that just the zeitgeist is such that nobody cares. I mean, except to make her a punchline.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Sometimes it's like with Robert Downey Jr., people, and I always go back to him because he does seem like a case where people made fun and people sort of, you know, he was a little bit of a punchline, but there was a legitimate sense of what a tragedy it sort of was. Because,
well, he became the guy in Less Than Zero.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And because he was so talented. And you know, and so there was a general sense of, he's sort of just become this junkie, but boy, goddamn, how sad it is, and it's just too bad about Robert Downey Jr. But with her, I don't get any of that. I don't get the sense that anybody really feels bad for her. I just get the sense of, hey, look at that car wreck over there.
I think people are sick of it.
Yeah?
I think people are sick of everything that goes on with celebrities, from Nick Nolte on down.
Yeah, and I really think it's like, we were talking today about how George Bush is one point away from having a disapproval rating the same as Richard Nixon right before he resigned. But the Congress themselves, like, there's only like 31% approval rating or something that Congress has. People are sick and tired of all of them. They're ready to flush the whole lot. And I do think it's the same thing with celebrities right now. I think people are just sick to the teeth of the whole batch of them.
Throw them out and get a whole new set of bums.
That's what I'm saying, my friend. You and I. All right. Roop and Emerson, 08.
We'll have our own election. We'll pick them.
Exactly. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. There you go. That's Jim Roop in Los Angeles. All right. That Rob Schneider thing makes more sense. Because I heard it this morning and it didn't seem funny. But
I've been in a lot of films, though, right, from my young age.
Yeah. He's dressed as her.
Kind of like Herbie Fully Loaded.
Yeah, okay.
Herbie was the car, I was Fully Loaded.
You're Fully Loaded.
Right. See, I guess it's moderately amusing if he's dressed as Lindsay Lohan. All right. All right, well, let's get this call, and then Aaron the Geek has to weigh in, I'm assuming, on the Belloc Belosh thing again. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, Rick, this is Benjamin. Good to talk to you.
What's up, sir?
Hey, you're having Mr. Skin on later, are you?
God damn, we're so behind. Yes, go ahead.
All right, well, you know, just think of it this way. Every time Lindsay Lohan goes to rehab, it increases exponentially the likelihood we're going to see her very soon topless in some low-budget comeback film.
That really is true. No, you're absolutely right about that. Because,
that
of course,
is the silver lining.
As actresses become more successful, they become less willing to take off their clothing anywhere. That's the Jennifer Connelly syndrome. So, that really is true. And so she'll have no choice but to just do, like, what was that movie that Anna Nicole Smith did where she was in a skyscraper? Well, whatever that movie was.
Oh, I don't know that one, but we got, Drew Barrymore and Poison Ivy.
Nice. There you go. All right, that's my 2 bits. I'm out.
Thank you. All right, there you go. And finally, before we break.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Aaron Geek in the city of Duran. Hello, sir.
How's it going, wrong boy?
How can I help you, my friend?
Dude, what's her name, Mary?
Yeah, what does she know with her knowledge of five languages?
Well, she might know languages, and I'm not disputing that, but she doesn't know Raiders of the Lost Ark one bit. Uh-huh. Because never once do we hear actually Sala say how he pronounces Belloc's name.
I thought it was, isn't it Sala that calls him Belosh?
He says there's not one brain among them except one man, a Frenchman. And Indy says, what's his name? And Sala says the Germans call him Belosh.
All right, okay, but so someone calls him Belosh.
The Germans do, and clearly they would mispronounce his name because the Nazis hate the French.
Yeah, but even the Germans wouldn't pronounce a Q as C-H.
They would just to mess with him because they can't stand the guy.
Oh, now you're just remaking, you're retconning.
The shooting script is B-E-L-L-O-Q. You are wrong. Just admit it.
I'm saying that when they made up the credits, I'm saying when they wrote the person, it's not like Spielberg sat and wrote the credits himself.
So the script's wrong too?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Look, you may point to the shooting script and say that I don't have a leg upon which to stand, but your only explanation reeks of retroactive continuity making, okay?
Not really, because it's actually in the movie where Salo says they call him Belosh.
If only,
And Indy laughs and says, no, Belloc.
I'm sorry.
So you're being corrected by the man.
Oh,
losing
stop
your call.
It,
I regret nothing.
No. You know, we need a version of the phone dump there that has the Wilhelm at the end. All right. We should break. Back after this, Tim Riley, Mr. Skin, more to come. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we will continue our hunt for the second worst story in the history of the world. More from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. And this, boy impaled in javelin throwing accident. Right there in Tacoma, where everything's a little bit worse. You know, having something bad happen to you in Tacoma is like stubbing your toe outside when it's cold. You know what I mean? The cold just makes everything hurt a little bit more. Living in Tacoma makes all misfortunes a little bit more miserable. We'll get to Tim Riley here in just a moment. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from MrSkin.com, the online celebrity nudity database, our good friend, the aforementioned Mr. Skin. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Well, you know, here, let me answer that question by saying this. We had a caller mention this about 10 minutes ago, that with every arrest, with every mishap, with every failed stint in rehab, Lindsay Lohan comes one step closer to eventually buckling down and just taking off her shirt in a movie. So it's a good time.
Well, you know what? It's funny. There's a movie that opens. Her movie opens tomorrow, and they have not let the press see it. Nobody's been able to screen the movie, which is usually a bad sign.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a masterpiece.
Yeah. The movie's called I Know Who Killed Me, and she plays a stripper. But until it comes out Friday, I can't say if she's naked. But I pretty much 99.9%. Can say she's not going to be naked in this movie.
Well, there is this sort of trend of hot girls playing strippers and yet not stripping.
It's definitely not the 80s because that wouldn't have happened in the 80s. I mean, you know, Jessica Alba was in Sin City playing a stripper and didn't strip, and it's frustrating. And Lindsay Lohan, I think, is going to be added to that list.
Yeah,
maybe I'll do a top 10 list next time. Girls who played strippers and didn't strip.
There you go, my friend. Well, what else is opening or coming to DVD that we ought to care about?
Well, the Simpsons movie opens this week, and yes, Bart Simpson does go full frontal, but the I thought you might be skinterested in this. The woman who plays the voice of Bart Simpson is named Nancy Cartwright, and she had done a lot of cartoon voices prior to locking in with Bart, but believe it or not, she was an actress. And in 1985 was in a movie called Flesh and Blood, and that's a movie where you could see Jennifer Jason Leigh very naked. But the voice of Bart Simpson, Nancy Cartwright, had a topless scene in that movie, and I think fans of The Simpsons might be interested in it. She's not the hottest girl, but it is the voice of Bart Simpson. And as a side note, the girl that plays Lisa Simpson, Yeardley Smith, did a movie in the 80s called Ginger Ale Afternoon where you could see her topless. So there's some nudity in the cast of The Simpsons, which opens in theaters this week.
That's right. And then now I'm thinking of, now Tim was pointing out Radio Days, but that's not Yeardley Smith. That's Marge Simpson, I think. The woman who plays Marge Simpson.
You're talking about the Woody Allen movie?
Yeah, Radio Days.
You mean the woman in the window? The woman in the window that gets very naked is named Sydney Blake. That was who you're thinking of, Julie Kavner.
Julie Kavner,
done a nude scene.
That's right. She was in Deconstructing Harry, Radio Days, some other Woody Allen. All right, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, she never did a nude scene, but there was nudity in Radio Days. You're right. Nope. And there's two movies that came out in theaters last Friday. I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, the Adam Sandler, Kevin James movie, doing great at the box office. They play Brooklyn firefighters who pretend to be gay to receive domestic benefits. Jessica Biel, the most popular actress right now at MrSkin.com, over 15,000 actresses. The number one most searched is Jessica Biel, and it's because of her underwear scene in this movie. I want everyone to know she's not naked, but Jessica Biel in her underwear is probably better than most actresses naked anyway, and it's very, very hot right now. It's in theaters, and we have the pics, and you definitely want to see it. It's ridiculous how good she looks.
Excellent.
And one last thing, there's a movie called Goya's Ghost, which is in theaters. It has Natalie Portman nude, and I wanted to stress, her PR people are saying she used a body double, which she did for some of the scenes, but our skin scouts have noticed her face showing up in a few of the scenes, so there was Natalie Portman in some of the scenes, but not everyone, but it was her in some.
That'll make all the geeks happy, my friend.
Yes,
among them. All right,
yes.
MrSkin.com, the online celebrity nudity database. As always, it's a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Rick. Take care.
There you go, MrSkin. Excellent. By the way, speaking of Natalie Portman, somebody told me this. I haven't verified it. Somebody told me that there is a new director's cut, of The Professional, which is the genius, brilliant, unbelievably wonderful Luc Besson film from 1989? Whatever, the movie that Natalie Portman was first introduced into America, where she has the weird Lolita relationship with the French hitman. Anyway, somebody told me that there's a director's cut of that that's just come out. I haven't verified whether that's true or not. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Julie Kavner is who we're thinking of. Yeah, she was the mom and ready to, well, we're poor, but at least we're happy. And I'm actually able to get past the fact that she's the voice of Marge Simpson, because she's in she's in Deconstructing Harry too. She's in the vignette where Robin Williams is losing his vision, he's becoming blurry. But then Yeardley Smith, who plays Lisa Simpson, that's a little harder for me to get past. She was in Herman's Head, which was weird enough. And then she shows up in Sports Night too, and that voice is not like her doing voice work. When she talks, like Lisa Simpson, that is her natural speaking voice. And so it's weird every time she opens her mouth on the screen, and it's like Lisa Simpson's voice comes out of this weird looking little woman. She's really strange. All right, ladies and gentlemen of the Ministry of Truth, it's the one, the only, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The awarding of extra-large T-shirts and Swedish meatballs. Portland remains giddy at the grand opening of IKEA. This will last for several days. No reports of problems with traffic in that area because no one really goes there. That's on the way to the airport.
No, of course. Why would anybody need to use that highway?
No. Meanwhile, a worker is dead after the dump truck he was driving fell into the Willamette River. Sounds kind of stupid, but it happened. The driver, his name has not yet been released. He was on company property when it veered off a single-lane bridge and landed upside down in 10 feet of water. He died at the scene, despite the sheriff's search and rescue coordinator trying to go in for him. Happened in Eugene. Well, after an extended break in the loss of original member Kevin Richardson, the Backstreet Boys will return October 30th with their next and yet untitled studio album for Jive Records.
Hooray!
The new album is the follow-up to the 2005 Never Gone, which debuted at number 3 on the Billboard 200 and sold 747,000 copies.
I don't even remember that album.
Neither do I.
I'm not like I'm an aficionado of the Backstreet Boys, but I mean, I recognize their place in the pop culture pantheon. I will say this. I will say the Backstreet Boys created created an instant classic pop single when they did I Want It That Way. That was the Backstreet Boys, right?
I believe
that was
so,
a great song. I mean, in terms of pure pop song craft, I mean, they didn't write it. It was probably Max Martin or somebody who wrote that. But I mean, it's a great song. And they also did a song called Larger Than Life, which was a huge, that was a great song.
I love it. That came out when I was a senior in high school.
Larger Than Life, and that was written by Max Martin. I'll bet you dollars to donuts, as my mom used to say, that he wrote that. He wrote all of the great Britney songs. Max Martin wrote all the great NSYNC songs, and he wrote most of the great Backstreet Boys songs. But it's too soon. It's too soon. I need to edit down that too soon sounder so that Sarah doesn't have to go digging for it all the time. It's too soon for a Backstreet Boys comeback. I mean, we cannot simultaneously be having, like, a Police comeback and a Backstreet Boys comeback. You got to watch the skies for the signs on how to do these sorts of things. I got to wait another, because you were what? You were in high school?
Yeah, I remember I was a senior, so we would watch it in my graphic design class.
And so you were like a junior or senior when they were at their apex, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's see. Who was I really into when I was a junior or senior in high school? So let's say like a Motley Crue type band when I was like maybe a junior. And so that was 90. And so Motley Crue, I think, is kind of going through a resurgence. That'll probably peaked a couple years ago with The Dirt. So that's what, 13 years? Yeah, so the Backstreet Boys, yeah, so they got to wait. Yeah, that's way too early, man.
That was too soon. Too soon.
Yeah, they got like another 8 or 9 years before anybody really clamors for a comeback. Because it's like, you got to wait until you're like 30, until you're feeling old, before you start to feel nostalgic for your high school stuff. So, all right, yeah, screw that.
Breaking news, a Northwest Airlines plane has reportedly returned to SeaTac due to a bomb threat. According to King TV, its flight 980 was going to Memphis before it returned to the airport. An airport spokesperson said the bomb claim was made before the plane left. And if you're flying a Northwest, apparently they're having a lot of problems here with cancellations. They put all these flights out to sell tickets to, and they found out they don't have enough pilots. So they're canceling flights, and a lot of people don't know until they get to the airport.
That's wonderful. And don't bring any cheese with you.
No cheese. A Florida dad has reportedly found the body of a missing woman wedged in his son's closet.
I saw this. Is this? Wait, what? Hold on, let me see.
This is Palm Beach, Florida.
Shinfield. Okay, I have... Go ahead and read that. I have an even worse version of that same story, I say with barely concealed giddiness. I have an even worse version of that. So go ahead and read that version. Do you have sound?
I do, yes.
Oh, I didn't have any sound.
Well, that's my job. I dig a little bit deeper. Try a little harder.
Digging a little bit deeper. Apparently the sun did that, too. Well, go ahead.
The body of 18-year-old Amanda Bunkley was found in the closet of 26-year-old Jason Schenfeld. Schenfeld told his father that the woman died of a drug overdose. The father called 911 after the discovery.
Yeah. I want to report a drug overdose.
Who had a drug overdose?
This girl on the...
Okay, is she there with you?
Yeah, she's in my son's room.
How old is she?
I think she's 18, 19, something like that. I think she's dead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's dead long time.
She's dead. Apparently, the son was acting nervous and agitated.
Uh-huh.
The coroner's report showed the woman died of strangulation.
Yeah.
Her body covered in cuts and scratches, duct tape stuck in her hair.
Yeah, that sounds like a drug overdose, doesn't it? She overdosed on the drug called, do you have any more sound, or is that it?
No, that's it.
All right. Who wants to hear the more disturbing version of the story?
Oh, I do.
Okay, here we go.
Because it is news.
This is from, is this from Florida?
Yes, it is. Palm Beach.
Oh, damn.
Playground of the Stars in the Ridge.
One big fiesta.
Oh, damn it. All right.
Ha-ha.
Jason Schenfield's parents noticed their 26-year-old son was acting... Do we have creepy music? I thought we at one point had creepy music.
It went all my old stuff.
We were going to play some sort of... we got to get a band for creepy stories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever. Let's see. Do I have something creepy I can play?
Andy!
No, that's not it. I have nothing. All right.
We'll have to go back. I'll find some tonight.
Jason Schenfield's parents noticed their 26-year-old son was acting nervous, locking his bedroom door every time he left.
Ugh.
He wouldn't give his mother a complete set of bed sheets to wash. When his father went in to retrieve the bed sheets Friday night, he saw why. Shoved into Schenfield's bedroom closet, piled among the sheets and clothing, was the body of 18-year-old Amanda... What kind of... That's like full-on Leaf Phoenix behavior. Locking the door every time he leaves. Can I have your bed sheets? No. It gets worse. Schenfeld told his father that the teen had overdosed on drugs and he panicked, shoving her into a closet. Investigators found duct tape in Buckley's hair, bruises on her body, and evidence of sexual assault. They also found a garbage bag filled with duct tape and rope. An autopsy Saturday revealed the college-bound softball star was strangled, beaten in the head, and then sexually abused, of course. Shenfield was arrested that night on a warrant alleging a first-degree murder, sexual battery, and false imprisonment. Now, and of course, get this. Before calling 911, of course, Shenfield's father and uncle left the mother at their Airedale drive home with Buckley's body and drove to an attorney's house before calling 911. The lawyer had represented Jason Shenfield in the past. 8 months previous, two women, 18 and 19, told investigators that Shenfield forced them to perform a variety of sex acts, both on him and each other, at the North Palm Beach home where he formerly lived. The two girls who filed the charges 8 months ago had been drinking rum. They passed out and awoke to find him naked and dragging them into his bedroom. The teens told a detective that Shenfield carried a knife along with a foot-long blade and threatened to sic his pit bull on them if they did not perform the sex acts. He then bound them with duct tape. The detective saw the young women's scrapes and scratches and found DNA evidence at the scene, but prosecutors declined to file charges of sexual battery and false imprisonment, saying the allegations could not be proven. So there you go.
That's so wrong.
Yeah, it really is. It's wrong on like 100 different levels. Wrong beyond my capacity really to even expound. So, there you go. Oh, he looks creepy too. Oh, I'm looking at it right now. That's a vacant, I'm going to make you into a chair covering kind of stare.
Well, maybe if he married one and had children, these problems would go away.
Oh, wait, no, there's more. Apparently this. Jesus. Here's another woman. Janet Welker was driving to her Lake Park home 5 years ago when she noticed an SUV following her. Apparently, this guy approached her as she stepped out of her car, telling her that he knew her neighbor. Quote, "The next thing I knew, he was beating me over the head with a cell phone, saying it was a gun. She lost consciousness during the attack. He then rifled through her purse and ran away." That's wonderful. He's a real prize. It's always a bad sign, by the way, when the parents know to call the lawyer first. All right, there's that disturbing story. Here's Tim Riley.
Lindsay Lohan did not spend the night last night at the home of her lawyer, Blair Burke. He will only say she was at a safe and secure location, but not at the lawyer's house. Don't ask me why she said that. In other news, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse pulled no punches as he took to the Senate floor today to bash the administration over what he sees as heavy-handed politics and an abuse of power.
We can spotlight their efforts to undo our system of checks and balances, their penchant for unneeded secrecy, and often disregard for the law and our American principles.
Who's that?
Senator Whitehouse.
What? Really?
Maybe he should run for president.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know,
Sheldon Whitehouse.
Journalists everywhere rubbing their hands together with
glee. First time I've heard of him.
Yeah.
He says the administration is abusing its power.
Oh.
After having served in this great institution for only 6.5 months, I feel more strongly than ever that it is vital for our Democratic majority to serve as an essential bulwark against an imperial executive branch.
No, the lisp precludes presidential aspirations. Yeah. That's not going to work.
They refuse to answer to anyone.
This administration has at almost every turn done everything possible to enhance the power of the president and the vice president, to dismiss Congress's essential constitutional oversight responsibilities, and to thwart those who would stand up and say, enough is enough.
He has a little less spit than Barney Frank.
I suppose. That really is setting the bar pretty low, though.
So 65% of Americans disapprove of the president's job performance, matching his all-time low. However, it's still 1 percentage point above Richard Nixon, which was 66%, who disliked him. So that's that.
All right. Let's see. By the way, who wants to know how many times we used the word bacon yesterday?
I do.
76. Rick, this email says, bacon tally for yesterday. In the first segment of your program yesterday, you used the word bacon 76 times. Baconator or baconator-like phrases were said 16 times. Handful of meat phrases like carp snout, meat-flavored brush, etc. were not counted. One time you said you were going to go buy some bacon, but you didn't finish the ater part, so I put that in the bacon tally. Signed, can you guess if I have a girlfriend? I do not. And then below that it says, P.S. Bacon show ever. Steven. All right, thank you.
I love Steven.
I didn't buy the Baconator yesterday. I meant to. I meant to buy the Baconator, but I didn't. I'm going to do that today. I will be without fail. It's 503-733-297. Let me just read this while we're here.
Please do.
There's so much news to get through today.
There is.
Kyla Osborne, 15, was practicing throwing the javelin at a practice track behind Pacific Lutheran University.
I threw javelin in high school. This is one of my biggest nightmares.
I only read these now to make you cringe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Was throwing the javelin at a practice track behind Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma on July 7th when he threw the javelin short and then tripped and fell into it.
Ouch.
Oh.
Ouch.
In a way, that's almost worse than seeing it come to the air and spear you.
Well, because the crappy thing about javelins is that both sides are equally spiky.
Yes.
Well, not equally, but pretty darn close.
Yes.
Oh.
He said, only a few people have been hit by javelins. I never expected me to be one of them. Osborne was practicing for the Junior Olympics when he threw the javelin short and his forward momentum carried him into the sharp end of a stick. Kyler bounced off the javelin and thought he'd bruised his ribs because the pain wasn't that bad, but he said on the way to the hospital it really began to hurt. It started to kick in. Something felt wrong. According to Osborne, the javelin apparently had gone in one side of his body, missing arteries and narrowly avoiding his lung and going right through his liver.
Ugh.
I have nothing to add to that. Let's see. Oh, yeah, we'll do that here in just one second. I don't even want to mention that other thing.
Which other thing?
Well, that thing about the kids who were being... let me just tell you this, and I shouldn't even say this now because we're close to a break. We go to the penis watch, and then we'll break, and then coming up next hour, we'll continue our hunt for the second worst story ever. What else? Well, some other things. I went home last night, though. In fact, it wasn't even before I was at home. I knew my wife called me at work last night. We were talking about whatever. And she was already pissed off because she had to go to Gresham for something, and so she was stuck in traffic in Gresham, and, like, she was in the truck, no air conditioning, and so she described it. My wife started out, my wife said, I'm drinking all my Haterade today. That's how she started the phone call. But I answered did you ever have those days where you answer the phone, and it's like all you've said is hello, and the person on the other end just unleashes just a torrent of just whatever, just the ranting is, hello, let me give it a good ride, you know, and I just basically like, hello, baby, how are you? And she just unleashed like a whole avalanche of hate about various things, like at me because I hadn't had my passport photo taken yet. And
oh, you didn't do that yet?
I got it yesterday. I got it done.
Good.
Woman, get off my back. Sorry, there was a little reflex there. That was it. Sorry.
How are you?
Force of habit. No, I got it done.
Well, that's good you got that far.
I have the worst passport photo. I'm all scowly.
I look all angry.
You're always scowly.
Well, you can't smile now. It's illegal to smile in your passport photo. Did you know that? It is against the law now to smile in the photo for your passport.
You're smiling with Al-Qaeda.
I was just going to say that.
We weren't together too long.
When you smile, Bin Laden smiles. The woman told me, she's like, if you smile, we have to do it again, so don't smile. What was I saying? Oh, anyway, so, no, it has nothing to do with your teeth. No, it's because when you smile, this is totally true.
Whole world smiles with you.
When you smile, it distorts your face, and facial recognition software is less effective. The facial recognition software is thrown off by smiling because it changes the natural curve of your face. That's why you have to have a blank expression. I'm really good at that, by the way. My wife called, and I'm like, hello. And she's like, let me tell you a few things. And she just unleashed on me. And she went on, like, this 9-minute tirade about these kids who are apparently facing sexual harassment charges.
Oh, yeah.
And the DA is threatening to have them charged as sex offenders.
Bradbury.
I guess it's because they swatted some kids on the butt at their high school or whatever, or at their grade school.
Middle school.
Because it was, like, butt swatting day or whatever it is they have. I thought that only happened to, like, English boarding schools where you made the underclassmen dress up as girls or something. But apparently it's like ass swatting day or something. And so these kids got nailed for it, and I guess the prosecutor's trying to charge them as sex offenders, and apparently, like, the Bill O'Reillys of the world have all gone mental about it or whatever. I just don't know anything about it. I don't have kids. So I just haven't followed it. But she was just, like, irate about it. She was, like, on some screed about how these kids are being railroaded, Well, whatever. Anyway, that's probably all these people are probably all calling about that, too. We should probably break. Do you want to come back into the penis watch on the other side?
I'd love to.
And then I know you've got business to conduct down the hall.
I do.
Preparing news for later.
I do.
When you are here live during the news during Tom Likas.
Mm-hmm.
Right in that chair.
The newsroom that never sleeps.
The news doesn't wait for anyone. All right. 503-733-2970. If you're on hold, I beseech you to stay there and stuff. Let's see. Javelin. Recognition software. Passports. School kids. All right. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Is that on your blog?
It sure is.
I would encourage you, my friends, if you have any semblance of attraction left, any sort of remnant of an attraction to Britney Spears, go to sarahxdillon.com. That'll be gone. Be able to expunge that from your body once and for all. That's a terrible photograph. And she's all greasy.
And her sunglasses are really bad.
Can I tell you this? Here's the thing I can't get with. With pictures of women anyway. There's a thing, greasy hair. You know what I mean? Look, it's not like I'm some model. And I know you talk a lot about how you don't wash your hair all that often. But your hair doesn't ever look greasy. Even if your hair is dirty, even if you haven't washed your hair in a couple of days, because sometimes you feel like it's been colored, your hair doesn't look all greasy and stringy.
It doesn't get all, it doesn't get stringy. I just have too much hair.
That's a bad greasy look is what that is. That's no good at all. All right, 503-733-297. That's just hideous. It's like Christina Aguilera wrung out her face into Britney's scalp. Let's, before we do anything else, shall we do a penis watch, Tim?
Oh, yes.
Fantastic. Here's your penis watch for...
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Jessica Alba wishes women's magazines were filled with men's penises. The actress doesn't think it's fair that men's magazines are packed with pictures of virtually nude women when the publications she reads don't have any naked guys in them. She says in a GQ British magazine interview, "You know, men's magazines have nipples, so why don't women have a magazine where men show their penises?"
He's reading the wrong magazines.
There's Playgirl, but not a fashion magazine like Elle. If there was a magazine like that, I'd buy it. Nudity's not a big deal to me. Although the 26-year-old star won't strip off on camera or on screen, she likes to see other people bare it all in the name of entertainment. "I've said I won't go naked in any of my movies because I don't want to, but that doesn't mean I don't want to see other people strip."
Now, I heard that she wanted to go naked in Sin City, but then they didn't. They asked her not to for some reason. So I don't know whether I'm right about that or not. I do think she's in the minority. I think we've talked about this before, that I think Sarah has voiced her opinion that probably fully nude men in your women's magazines is probably not something you're in favor of. Was that you that said you weren't in favor of that, or was it Jolie? It might have been Jolie who was opposed.
It might have been Jolie, but I don't really feel either way.
You're indifferent.
I wouldn't purchase a magazine just because they're naked. I'm sure I could find a magazine now that would have them.
Jolie was wholeheartedly opposed to that, I believe. All right, excellent. There you go. There's your penis watch for
Take a look
Wednesday.
At my enormous penis, and my troubles start melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
All right, 503-733-2970. More from Tim Riley later on in the hour. Dynamike at 7. Before that, Tom Likas at 3. Let's get these calls, and then we will commence our search for the second worst story ever. Ever! Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I was going to make a comment about that javelin guy.
Yeah.
You say he was trying out for the Junior Olympics?
Yes.
Well, sounds like now he's going to be trying out for the Special Olympics.
Oh, I should have. You know, I saw you coming with that. 1 second too late.
Hey, and also one more thing real quick, Rick.
Yeah.
I noticed a couple times now on the Likas show, like there's some kind of mess up with the timing or whatever, and like they have that riff from that Ozzy riff, Breaking All the Rules.
Right.
That goes for like 5 minutes straight.
Yeah.
That's totally awesome.
That's so great. Okay, let me give you a little background on that. And this is something that nobody else will know, but if you're listening to this segment right now, you'll know this. First of all, I think it's awesome that you think it's awesome that we have just a cycling riff from Breaking All the Rules by Ozzy Osbourne. I'll see if we can find that, actually, and play it, just so people know what we're talking about. Tom obviously is in Los Angeles, satellite program, and we were having a little bit of we're having some glitches with our satellite receiver for a while, and I think we've kind of gotten smoothed out. But there were some glitchiness happening where we would come back, you know, because there's a commercial break, and we'll come back, and the audio wouldn't be there, or the audio would be glitchy, and we would have to wait for it to smooth out. And in the meantime, we didn't want there to be dead air, so we would just have a music bed that we would play while we were waiting for the rejoin to happen, and. James, who works the board in the afternoons, he runs Lycus most days of the week, he actually created all the music beds, and he's a huge Ozzy fan. So he came in and he created at home just a bunch of looped instrumental beds to play. And I came in the other day, we're having this kind of a little issue with the satellite rejoin, and so while we're waiting for the satellite to fix itself, we're playing this Ozzy bed. And it's just that dun 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 dun, and it's just the Breaking All the Rules bed. And this is the nerdiest music thing. So he and I get into this whole long discussion about that bed and that song and how it's from the last great Ozzy Osbourne record until this last one. And I noted how Breaking All the Rules is, in fact, my favorite Ozzy song of all time. And then we actually said, we're like, do you suppose anybody else even notices this stuff? So it is fantastic that you have called up to show that you do indeed notice.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
There you go. Breaking All the Rules from No Rest for the Wicked. Last song, side one. Wonderful song. Excellent. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You know, but for that one moment, Scott and James and I, right there, simpatico. Let's see. Let's do this, and then we'll do the second worst story ever. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, sometimes I just feel so not cool listening to you ramble on about stuff I have no concept.
The idea that I would make somebody feel uncool is really just, and Sarah can tell you this, is just the most absurd concept on earth. Let me just tell you a little thing. I went to this Willamette Week party last night, and I had written this down to talk about earlier, and I forgot, but now I have a chance to talk about it. So the Willamette Week does this Best of Portland thing every year, and they had a little shindig last night, and Sarah and I were invited. And so I called Sarah last night to see if the party was, and she calls me. She's like, should I get down here? I'm here. You know, there's nobody I know. Come on down. So I go, and it's Sarah and her hot friend Heather and her boyfriend, Sarah's boyfriend. And so anyway, so I go there, and it's just, I just feel, it's like when I go to the Apple store. I mean, I'm there under this huge tent with all of these Willamette people. And I'm just so underdressed, and I'm so uncool, and I don't know any of the cool bands that people are talking about, and I don't, you know, and I don't have, like, correctly cuffed shirts or whatever in my, you know, and I got bad hair, and I'm such a tool. And I realize at this point that the only reason, and I think she'd admit this, that the only reason Sarah invites me to these things is because I set the dork bar, like, so high. You know what I mean? It's just that, like, with me there, it's sort of like, not that Sarah's not cool, but it's like I immediately draw the dork vibe to myself, and thus she looks even better than she normally does because I'm there and I'm just setting, like, the retard standard.
No, I just felt totally awkward.
She's kind of your parachute. She sets the floor right there where she can't fall below.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like she'll never be, not that this is ever in jeopardy because Sarah's very stylish and intelligent and so forth, but it's like any chance Sarah would ever have of being the dorky person in the room is immediately negated by my presence because I just don't function. I'm just sitting there just kind of shuffling my feet and looking at the ground and like holding a soft drink and realizing I have nothing to talk to any of those people about. I mean, what am I going to talk about with some guy from the Willamette Week? They all have a kind of a sparkly glow around them, and you get the feeling that they all just came from a party at the Decemberist house that I wasn't invited to. You know what I mean? It's just, so I'm just such a retard and a tool, and I don't function anywhere except right here in this environment, so, or at home with my poodle. That's it.
And it's a fine environment you're in there.
Well, thank you. So when you say that you feel uncool, realize, my friend, that you're talking to someone who I really am just a walking primate. You know what I mean? I'm just a tool-wielding ape. That's all I am.
All right. Well, kind of a where do we go from here? On a reset back to the not smiling in the passport photos because the face recognition software.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what you're basically saying is if you're like Osama bin Laden and you just like walk through the airport with a giant grin on your face while toting your dirty bomb, no software will recognize you.
Apparently. That is the logic of the government. Yes, apparently so. It's, I mean, it didn't make any sense at all. And if you try to smile, it's same with your driver's license, actually. I don't know. I think now if you try to smile for your driver's license, they will actually tell you to do. They won't say don't smile, but they'll say just kind of do it with a blank expression if you could. And that's code for don't smile because it throws off the facial recognition software. And that's not a conspiracy. We read a story in the New York Times about that last year.
So just smile everywhere and nobody will know who you are.
Attention thieves and Osama bin Laden. Smile and the whole world doesn't notice you, apparently.
On the javelin catcher front there, back when I was in high school, graduated in 81, there was a guy that was walking across the field over there at Benson High School. His javelin hit him right square in the chest.
I like you made this. What was the sound effect?
Like that. Then, you know, he kind of fell down and went, ooh! But, it hit him right square in the sternum, you know, that bone right there.
Yeah.
Left a little mark, little, you know, kind of split the skin, bounced off of him.
Wonderful.
If that thing had gone, you know, 4 inches lower, he'd have been pinned to the ground.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend.
Yep.
All right, there you go. Good times. All right. Who wants to look for the second worst story ever?
Isn't the javelin enough?
No. No, if the javelin was enough... Okay, Sarah, the javelin didn't even make it into the running. The javelin isn't even part of this story.
How many stories do you have there?
Well, I have the German impaled on plunger story, because I think I'm going to read it every now and again just to amuse myself. Who wants to look for the second worst story ever?
Okay.
Thank you. All right, my friends, here's how we play our game. I will read two horrifying news stories. As I read the second one, you call up at 503-733-2970 and you vote for which story is the worst, first or the second. Now, of course, we had a longtime champion in this German man who was plunged when he fell onto a plunger he was using as a bathtub. That's his version of the story anyway. That was defeated last week, but I'm going to keep it around just to sort of, you know, just to read every now and again. We do have a new champion, and so we will read the reigning champion story, and then we'll come back. I'm sorry, I dropped my pen. We'll read the reigning champion story, then we will immediately follow up with the new competitor. And as soon as we read the second story, call up and tell me which story is the worst, the first or the second, as we continue our hunt for the second worst story ever. Here is the second worst story ever, reigning champion. Here is story number one, the current reigning champion, as we search for the second worst story ever. Dateline Carbondale, Colorado. Squirming larvae pulled from man's head. Doctors thought that the strange bleeding bumps on Aaron Dallas's head might be from gnat bites or shingles. Then the bumps started moving. Doctor found five active botfly larvae living beneath the skin atop Dallas's head. He said, "I put my hand back there and feel them moving. I thought it was blood coursing through my head. I could hear them moving around inside my head. I thought I was going crazy." Dallas said he likely received the larval infestation while on a trip to Belize this summer. Adult botflies are hairy and look like bees without bristles. They were removed from his head on Thursday. "It was weird and traumatic," he said. "I'd get this pain that dropped me to my knees." After a specialist told him he might have shingles, Dallas tried different creams and salves, but the pain only got worse. "When I saw him again, it was pretty obvious something else was going on," said Dr. Kimball Spence, who could see the spots moving on Dallas's head. "There's an open pit. You see a little activity, not necessarily the larva, but a fluctuation of the fluid in the pit on his head."
Ugh.
Dallas's wife, Midge, teased him about it. She said, "I'll love you through your maggots." There you go. That's story number one and reigning champion. Story number two, the challenger. This is a news story, by the way, that we are now reading in this, a new segment of this, the Rick Emerson Program on AM 970, a news talk station. Operating in the public interest, convenience, and necessity, here's story number two, the challenger. Pool cue prank ends in agony. A man rammed a pool cue into the... rectum.
Oh.
Of a drunken friend with such force that it snapped off, leaving 31 centimeters stuck inside the man's bowel, the Tasmanian Supreme Court in Hobart has been told. Roofer Matthew Trippett, who'd previously pled guilty to a charge of grievous bodily harm, was given a six-month jail sentence suspended for 2 years in order to perform 140 hours of community service. The court was told that Trippett had drunk alcohol at various locations around Hobart to celebrate the birthday of one of two friends with him. Justice Crawford said the trio ended up at the Village Green Tavern, where the complainant crashed to the floor with his buttocks exposed, while his friend ran around the pub in the nude. He said Trippett has used considerable force, including lateral force, to, quote, jam the pool cue into his friend, where it then snapped in two. Trippett apparently thought it was a big joke until the full extent of what he'd done was revealed. In crippling pain, the complainant went home and removed the pool cue from his rectum himself. Imagine that. Imagine going home and sitting there going, what, tweezers? Pliers? Crescent wrench? Now I'll just use my hand and yank. Unable to tolerate the agony any longer, the man went to Royal Hobart Hospital 3 days later and underwent immediate surgery for a perforated colon. Why? Well, because his bodily waste had been emptying into his body cavity, which could have killed him, Crawford said. The man was discharged from the hospital 3 weeks later but had to return for further surgery to have a colostomy bag removed. He had suffered intense and ongoing pain. There you go. That's the second story right there. It's 503-733-2970. We'll now take your votes on which of those stories was the worst. We have story number one, squirming larvae pulled from man's head, and story number two, pool cue prank ends in agony. 503-733-2970. Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Well, I have some personal insight into this. I'm an ear, nose, and throat doctor here in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
During my training here, I actually pulled larvae off of a guy's tumor on his face.
Doubly bad.
Well, no, what happened was he had a tumor. He knew it was a really big, bad cancer, and he started hearing things in his ear, kind of like the kid down in Southern Oregon who had that. So we took him to the operating room. We started pulling these larvae off, but in the interim, the other doctors had given him chemotherapy, and the chemo killed a lot of the larvae. So they were mostly dead, but there were still some living ones too.
Thank you for that.
So the second, for me, anything near the rectum is worse, so I vote for the second one as being worse.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Hello?
Hi, which story do you find to be the worst, sir?
Oh, the first one. Since you mentioned that, I think I've rubbed my head raw already.
Yeah, Sarah and I are both scratching each other a lot. Not each other, ourselves. Scratching
nasty.
Each other all day.
All right, thank you.
Hi. It's a big nature channel in here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the worst?
Number two, because I never want to hear you read number one again.
That's the wrong reason to vote, but we'll accept it anyway.
Yeah, because I have a right to vote the way I want to, and you can't be like the U.S. voting system and meddle with it.
It's like a vote trading sort of a thing. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Well, given my propensity for kissing rugs, definitely number two.
All right, excellent. Thank you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Well, I don't think number two is a lot worse than last week. Lots of people jamming things up each other's rear end for some reason. Number one, for sure, can't beat that larvae.
All right, can't beat the larvae. It's like nobody beats the whiz. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Yes, I like number one because you can go on the website of popthatzit.com and you can actually see larvae being taken out of people's heads, and it's just disgusting.
Really? Okay. Thank you. Boy, this is a dead heat. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which do you find to be the worst?
Well, I got to go with the second because rectum damn near killed him.
All right. Thank you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
I would definitely say story number two, because there's just something wrong about crap being in you but not knowing where crap goes.
All right. Thank you. Hi, hello, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst and more off-putting?
The pool cue, because as Tim says, maggots are larvae are some of God's creatures.
All right. Thank you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Rectum. I hardly knew him.
Okay. All right. Fine. Fine. Okay. Thank you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Well, real quick, Rick, I just got to ask you why the majority of your stories involve some rectum and some piece of wood. I don't know what's going on.
It just seems
that's
to be...
That's a valid point.
You know,
Rick does find these stories.
I go with the stories that are sent to me the most frequently, sir. I had like 900 people send this one to me.
Okay.
And you know what it is? And just to be fair, and it's like that story of the girl in the pool drain that we read a couple weeks ago that we will never read again. I had so many people send me that story that it could not be ignored. So neither could this. So.
Okay, Rick. Well, that's still the worst one.
Okay, excellent. All right, thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we'll finish this bank. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst? Hello, hi, Rick Emerson radio program. Hi, which story do you find to be the worst?
Oh, the first one. My God. I'm supposed to go to Belize. There's no way. That's just so... That's the worst.
That's okay. Just think of it as one more souvenir you might come back with.
No, now I have to change my plans. That's just too gross. I can't go there.
All right. Excellent. Glad we could impact your life in a positive fashion. All right. Bye now. Hi, Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
The second guy didn't even have to go to the hospital immediately, so it's got to be number one.
It'll be number one. I got to tell you, this is really surprising how close this is. All right. Thank you. All right. There you go. All right, Sarah, do you want to cast a vote?
I think I'm going to go for the maggot one this time.
You still find the maggot one to be more off-putting.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. All right.
Because I'm getting kind of desensitized to all the wooden bum stories.
That's what I'm just saying. All right, when we come back, we'll reveal the winner. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Without further ado, we should say the winner and new champion. And I'll hunt for the second worst story ever. From stuff.co.nz from New Zealand. Pool cue prank ends in agony. The key sentence of which is the following. His bodily waste had been emptying into his body cavity, which could have killed him. Why am I getting larger? All right. 503-733-2970. Just a minute, we'll be joined by Court and Fatboy from Rock 101 KUFO as the Belloc debate continues to rage out of control. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Northwest Airlines Flight 980 sits on the tarmac at SeaTac as we speak after somebody claimed there was a bomb on board. Apparently, the plane left SeaTac at 12:33, returned at 1:15. The man didn't have any luggage checking on the plane, but made his threat at the gate inside the airport. He never got on board. Never. So the plane is on the ground. Attention, ma'am. Don't forget the broccoli and cauliflower. A new study by the Cleveland Clinic says...
Oh, damn it.
Vegetables should be a part of a healthy diet.
We are recommending 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, only for decreased risk of prostate cancer, but for other cancers.
Oh, really?
Well.
What do you recommend to get rid of that speech impediment, huh?
That's the booby doctor's sister.
Seriously. Boy, you know the booby doctor. Did I tell you that I went to I went to the booby doctor, so we were hanging out. I went to the booby doctor. Now I couldn't say that. I went to the Baghdad Theater a while back, and there was a guy behind the shirt wearing
The booby doctor is in.
Yeah. I went to the Baghdad a while back, and there was a guy behind the counter. The guy who served me my popcorn was wearing a shirt that said the booby doctor is in. Which is a shirt that Joni and I made up as like a joke. I never thought anybody would buy one.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, I walk in, I'm like, I'll take a small corn and a...
Booby Doctor t-shirt.
Dr. Pepper, and I look down and the guy's wearing a shirt, and the shirt says...
The Booby Doctor is in.
Who is the Booby Doctor? Because where is he now? You know, the weird thing is, the Booby Doctor's probably all grown up by now. Because that's like 3-4 years ago.
It's true.
How strange to think that he might be...
I wonder if he still calls himself the Booby Doctor.
Well, once you...
He designed the Apple iPhone.
Seriously, the guy's worth like $1 billion by now. He's coding at Microsoft. Tim handed me this from today's New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
New York Times has a full-page ad from the Cleveland Clinic. Says the U.S. News and World Report has ranked the Cleveland Clinic number one in America for heart care 13 years in a row. And all this time, we didn't think it was a real place. We thought it was just some place where people rode around the hallways on unicycles.
Who would go to Cleveland?
Honestly, being in Cleveland seems like the problem, not the solution. All right, here's Jim Riley.
A study reveals that less than half Americans agree with the idea of peace through military might.
According to the recent survey, only 49% of Americans approve of the tactic, but in 2002, 62% believed it was a very good idea. A 15-year-old Boogie Border is recovering after being swept out to sea in a riptide that happened in Lincoln City. They received reports of a Boogie Border in distress. Two boat crews and a beach crew saw the kid and dragged him in by a helicopter.
I didn't think boogie boarding still happened.
I'm not sure what would be.
I don't even know that they called it that anymore. That's like a guy wearing body glove or something. I didn't think that. I thought that was the thing we'd left behind in the 80s.
Well, that's that. All I have for today.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in the history of the world. Thank you so much. Tim is back at 4, 5, 6, and 7, top of the hour, all the way through. Like us, this email says, Rick, how are you right about this Belloc thing? I'm confused, he said, about how you were right about spelling Belloc's name when you were wrong. It's a little like when you say, quote, I don't mean to sound unkind, but you look like a whore today, end quote. I don't think I've said that. Is this a Kim Jong-il type thing where you say you're right and then demand that the masses just agree with you? I do not understand, he says again for the record. Okay, and now we have...
Court and Fatboy are out there.
All right, well, let's... do we have Court and Fatboy joining us now in the... All right, let's...
Now, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from our sister station, Rock 101, KUFO. Court, is a fat boy going to be joining us?
Sam's fat boy?
No, you know, I think he left his coffee pot on and he had to drive home really quick to try and turn it off before his entire house catches on fire. Okay, so you're probably listening right now.
Well, I'm sure his landlord thanks him for that.
All right. So this whole business of Belloc, Beloche, Belloc.
Are you still talking about this?
Unbelievably, yes.
It never stops.
It does seem to define. And I just a casual observation I made at 11:52.
It's not casual. It's this declaration that you're saying that everyone else is wrong and you're right.
Well, that's only because that's the case.
I heard you at 11:52 this morning. And this is not just a casual declaration.
Would you like to hear what this woman who is a linguist has to say?
Go
Rick,
ahead. Yeah, sure.
I hear the pathetic attempt that Aaron made to justify his position, she said, because this woman who speaks like nine languages had called or had emailed, and she's just like, here's the reasons why you are right, and here's the reason why everybody else can pound it. And then Aaron called up, and he was all, going on. And so she says, Rick, I hear the pathetic attempt that Aaron made to justify his position, but he is still wrong. Belloc, C-H, is a common last name of French origin. German actually pronounces all the letters in a word. For some reason, English has become full of the silent letter things, which isn't really present in most other languages. So, if they call him that, it's because their tiny little Nazi minds think it's the correct pronunciation. I'm not sure why the script adds the Q, but has anyone ever claimed that Hollywood types actually know what they're talking about? Aaron is still wrong. So this woman who understands languages, German, French, English, sure, among them, has claimed, etymologically speaking, that
so
it is all
me. Your contention is that you, Rick Emerson, are right.
Yes.
Even beyond the fact that the shooting script, IMDb, the credits to the movie, all have a Q at the end.
My whole thing is this, though, is that... That doesn't really count, and I'll tell you why.
None of it counts.
But
the people who wrote the script, they don't count.
It's not as crazy as it may seem when I say that. Because all of those things spring from a single source. In other words, if the script says it, that's why the credits say it, and that's why the Internet Movie Database says it. It's not like they all independently came to that spelling. If it's misspelled in the original script, well, everybody gets their information from the original script, so of course the others would all be misspelled.
Well, why would they choose to spell it with a Q? Clearly, there has to be, at some point, someone must have the name Belloc with a Q at the end.
I'll tell you this
it's
right
like
now.
It's Gaddafi or Qaddafi.
I'm telling you, Gaddafi. Yeah. And it's actually spelled with a G now, or Osama.
Right. Yeah.
I'll tell you this. If you Google Belloc with a Q, you get 50,000 results. You Google Belloc with a CH, you get 300,000 results. So,
but do they have anything to do with that movie?
No, the only ones, and the only Belloc with the Q results you get are the ones from Indiana Jones.
There you go.
Because they're all based on the goddamn incorrect spelling in the script.
Okay, I would suggest that maybe Indiana Jones.
It's not a real name.
Maybe Indiana Jones, maybe his last, it ends with a Z. Because when Belloc screams, Jones,
that's the
has a very Z sound to it.
He's the hip-hop archaeologist. Indiana Jones. Yeah. I'm just saying, there's no real Frenchman.
Wrong.
There's no real Frenchman with Belloc is a with
it doesn't
a Q.
matter. The name of the character.
Yeah, and last names are different. Who are you to say that somebody can't spell their name that way? That's just stupid. Stupid argument.
How many
it's
people have you met
well
with the first name
out.
Indiana?
His real name isn't Indiana.
Still.
His real name isn't Henry.
Indiana was the dog's name. Yeah.
Well done. Look at that. See how it's become. This is totally what this program is about. A few months ago, we boiled it down that this program is all about the inexplicable attraction of disproportionate anger. That's totally, as yours is as well, because I hear Fatboy especially do that all the time.
Oh, yeah. No,
where somebody will, he will just go nuclear about something that is just, everybody who is not us or does not exist in our world would never understand, you know. You just never understand.
And that's why we are so stridently against you on this case, because it's Q. It says it in the credits of the movie. You cannot contend.
See, now I have no choice but to get, like, Aaron and, like, the linguist in the room at the same time and just have them just go out like hammer and tongs. This really is something that would only happen on this show or on your show.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I would tune into you guys and it would be like, why can't the Howells afford their own boat? They're rich. Why do they need to charter a boat with other people?
Exactly.
God damn it. You
exactly.
know, and then you'd play like a Slipknot song or something.
Right. That's how we punctuate everything.
All right.
Slipknot, Metallica.
And then AC/DC's Back in Black again. All right. While you're here, is there anything you need to plug, Pimp, other than your show?
I will say that, our Firefly showings, our joint Firefly showings
yes,
are
which
doing...
we haven't actually talked that much about, but yeah, we're helping you to show Firefly with the Mission
Theater. Yes, Tuesday nights, and we're going through the first season. We're, six episodes in already. So if you have not seen one yet, definitely get down there. If you're a brown coat, you're a weed knight, get down there because you will find a room of your peers.
And people who would actually understand this argument, people who would care about the Belloc argument.
Oh, yes.
Probably.
I'm sure that they will carry on this argument for years.
Yes, it's true. All right, excellent. Court, from Court and Fatboy, Rock 101 KUFO, 7 to midnight. Weeknights, my friend. All right. Are we breaking?
We could, or we could do something else for a few more minutes.
What else could we do right now? I can't possibly...
Daddy J. I wish I knew how to quit you.
I kiss you on the
He's got exciting news for us, I think.
Good morning, Metolia.
Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our intrepid and fun time programming assistant, Scotty J. Hi, Scotty J. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, hard man.
It's not a real place.
Yeah.
Is hard man one of those places like Intercourse, Pennsylvania or something?
No, it is a real place.
Are you hungover today?
No.
You seem a little
hungover.
You've got your face is shiny and you got bags.
I was up to like 2 a.m. just couldn't sleep.
Why were you up till 2 a.m.?
Do you have crackheads living in your apartment too?
No, I don't, but I was like watching TV shows and just couldn't, and another one was starting.
Are you wearing the pants today?
No.
Are you wearing the, okay, now is it, were you up at 2 a.m. racked with guilt about the fact that you've been secretly smoking and then denying it to Sarah and I?
No.
Let me see. So you're not wearing the patch.
No.
And so you are saying you have not smoked.
That's correct.
You are still insisting.
Have you smelled him yet today, Rick?
I don't want to. Why do I always have to smell Scotty?
Because I smelled him yesterday.
You didn't smell him. I thought I did.
I smelled his shirt. You smelled his hands.
All right. Well, let's. If you come over and do the shirt, I'll do the hands.
Okay. I'll
well, I don't want to just smell him all over. After a while, your nose just gets numb. Well, you hang your hands. God damn it. Oh, okay. Extend your hands, please. No. Extend your fingers.
Scotty.
Hold on.
I'm tired of being smelled around here.
I don't know. That smells a little nicotine-y.
How could it be when I've had coffee all over my hands and everything else? It's impossible.
I smell something. It doesn't smell like your normal freshly scrubbed Purell
self.
Yeah,
I smell a little something.
There's a little something.
What do you smell?
It's not possible.
Are these clothes freshly laundered?
Oh, yeah. No, there's smoke in there.
Yeah?
That's not possible.
It doesn't smell freshly laundered.
It does.
Yeah, I smell it.
It's deodorant or whatever.
Smell.
It's just not
smell. You're proposing a very strong argument there. If you
that does have.
It's 100%
like it.
Not possible.
It has the actual.
I have not
aroma.
Even been near smoke.
Now
in
that's
a long
lie. Your
time.
Wife
not,
smokes.
Especially not today.
Your
I mean,
wife
I
smokes.
Have not been near her today. She came and left before I was even up.
Who else do we know that's a smoker? This is a radio station. There's got to be 1,000 people here who smoke. We need someone else who is not us,
there's
who has
no
vested
no
in, interest in the outcome.
You need non-smokers.
There is no smoke.
You need
there.
Non-smokers is what you need.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, because smokers aren't going to be able to smell smoke.
There's no smoke in this shirt.
All right.
There's no. It's no way. It's not even possible.
And let's just see if we can get our friend Joe here from production to come in. Joe, if I may ask this question, may I ask, are you a smoker?
Yeah, go for it.
No.
Okay, you are not a smoker. Now, can I ask you to do something that may seem a little strange? But we need a non-smoker for this.
Right.
And I realize now that I ask you this, this is a task that many men would find horrifying. Can I get you just to give Scotty's shirt a little sniff there and tell me, there's no pressure one way or the other, if he, to your nose, smells like cigarette smoke?
Certainly.
If you detect any aroma of
cigarette
smoke.
Feel free to smell many spaces.
Just any sort of trace of cigarette smoke there?
None.
All right.
That's right.
Okay. Fair enough.
I have not even been around smoke today.
You know what? I will defer to the non-smoker because, again, we, you know, if you don't believe that we can be unbiased, I'll defer to Joe.
Right. I was around a non-smoker earlier today during lunch, though, and it just, or I was around a smoker.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
And you can tell it.
Foul. Vile.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. All right, Scotty. We'll defer to his nose.
Sweet.
All right. Hey, so here's the thing. We haven't much time to talk about this, but so I walked by Scotty's cave earlier because Scotty ill-advisedly spent. How much of your own money did you spend on the idiot guest book we told you not to buy?
$70.
On that book?
How much that moronic guest book that we told you not to buy?
Okay, that was $55.
Oh.
Have you used it once for anything?
No, but it looks good. That's what I do. I buy
books. Good on your shelf.
Exactly.
So you have five books now, including that Ronald Reagan when you
got a couple Trump books too.
Wonderful. So now that didn't work, which we told you it wouldn't. But now you're trying a new service, which we won't give it away. But you're using a new service right now, sort of a trial run.
Unbelievably,
this is the service that we told you to use. Yeah, unbelievably, we were right about it.
For once. And it found exactly who I needed to.
So who is it you're trying to book right now?
I'm trying to book Scott Baio.
And where are you with that?
Well, there's a lot of go here, go there, do this, do that. But I got a hold of his agent's people who sent me off to VH1. So you can't just get online and find a number at VH1. It doesn't work.
And what, you can't just pick up the phone and call VH1 and have them connect you to Scott Baio. It doesn't really work.
And I've racked my head trying to get a hold of people. You know what else gets my goat is the fact that Gabe Kaplan has interviewed everywhere around, you know, in the last couple states recently, at least that I know about. He's been on some TV shows and stuff recently. And he's totally avoiding us. And that gal who acted happy to talk to me that said, I'll let Gabe know. Not to mention the fact that we talked to him at Powell's. And
it's like you're unburdening a lot of Gabe Kaplan anger.
I know, but I can't get a hold of him. They won't return the call. So,
well, Gabe Kaplan, well, he has no motive. Why would he talk to you now?
Well, does he want to continue sales of his book?
That's not going to happen.
Our listeners will wait in line around the corner of the building for it.
Yeah, okay. All right, back after this. We'll wrap it up around the corner. Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. Like us next. Don and Mike at 7. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We're joined here today by Fat Boy, your tall compatriot was just here, and he was going on about the Belloc Milosevic thing. And
it's a lot simpler than everyone's making it. First of all, Belloc is a fictional character. In the world of fiction, the screenwriter is God. If you spelled it with a Q, it's spelled with a Q. Secondly, none of this really matters because you misspelled the name anyway. You only gave it one L.
That's not true. Did I give it two L's?
B-E-L-O-C-H. So it doesn't matter. Either way, you misspelled it. Win.
Fatality. Excellent. Court and Fat Boy, 7 to midnight tonight and every night on Rock 101 KUFO. Now get out of my seat.
Okay, I'm gone.
All right. We want to thank CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. That's owned with a P. Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, Mark Shearer, and Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. Join us tomorrow when I don't think we have anybody tomorrow. I think we've got a whole lot of nothing. Yeah, all right. Well, join us tomorrow when it'll just be us. Rick, we'll close it out with this email. I had the same weird revelation about the Cleveland Clinic last night. I was talking with a friend who was telling me that the baby of someone we knew has terrible problems they can't diagnose. My friend said, they had to take this baby to the specialty hospital somewhere. I paused and I said, was it the Cleveland Clinic? She said, yeah, that's it. I had to restrain myself from making a clown noise out loud. I believe it's respected. All right, there you go. And so forth. Oh, and then this. Rick, don't forget, when you're with Sarah, you're the fat chick that hangs around hot girls. Thought you'd like to know. Mike in Portland. Thank you, Mike. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah S. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. Our PA is Scotty J. And, of course, the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. As always, don't let the bastards run down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. Look out for the... See you all tomorrow. Bye now. Like us next week.